This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, ooh, Clayton McKee.
Hi, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show. I'm Clayton McKee. Hi there. I'm sitting alongside Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and as usual, Marnie Ryer, somewhere in the Valley of the Sun on her way to us. Let me turn you on too.
There I am.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Bill Clinton just emailed me.
Oh, did he? Right. Personal Bill.
That should go on for about another, let's say, a year and a month.
Oh, yeah, probably so.
Are you kidding? The Obamas are...
You'll have to go... Kat is in control of volume of...
Up.
Oh, she needs up. Let her know. Let her know when.
That's good.
Oh, wow. I'm sure. Hi, everybody. Once again, 7 o'clock. It is the Valley of the Sun. This is what I call the 13th of October, 2015. I'm glad you're with us. This is, by the by, for those of you keeping score, show 233.
Woo. Where does the time go?
Oh, I know. I can tell you right now where it goes. Away.
Yeah, exactly.
hello.
Into the garbage.
That's where it goes. Best my gosh. Hi, everybody in the chat room. Mama Di. And, of course, Amina is there. And
hello.
I looked, not actually in the chat room, but people listening, all of the countries, or excuse me, the people listening to the audio-only stream, New Zealand, of course, Kenya, Brazil, and some people from the United States. So, we are worldwide.
Brazil.
I just love that we're worldwide. More so than in America.
Yeah.
Exactly. Actually, at this point, it's even. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It is pretty even. Anywho.
International.
Welcome you. There's a cheese and cracker plate courtesy of Dr. Ben Carlson.
For president.
Yes. And you have raspberries.
Oh, yeah.
And I have,
as always,
coffee and water and... But lions and bears. Oh my.
And it's a wake and bake. I've been up.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Like 82 minutes awake. So welcome to it. Liquor.
82 whole minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, exciting.
I watched the opening of the
debate. Of the debate.
I was hoping, my goal was to actually have a monitor in here so we could just at least see it. But
that's too distracting. Then I would just be watching.
Do you remember when we did the elections 2 years ago? Was it 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
And we had the TV in the room.
There's a better ticker crawl on a presidential election year though, because CNN has like an entire ticker happening because they're telling you like senators and representatives and dog catchers, like they're scrolling everything under the sun.
It's good though. We should keep an eye on dog catchers local.
Well,
and they have so many graphics where the debate you'd have to listen, like
right,
watching people talk is not, I guess it's not fun.
Well, and the people at closed caption drink heavily, so they're not going to help.
Yes.
Oh my, yes.
That's always been my favorite thing, to watch TV in a bar when the closed captioning's on and just watch it just devolve, because the later in the day it gets, the worse the closed captioning gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's got to be somebody just sitting at a desk somewhere just listening to insane live television, just typing away and drinking.
With my involvement in the limited involvement with the deaf community, it's interesting and sad to me at the same time, the closed captioning, because I understand that they're just not doing any justice to it at all. And with deaf people that I know from, I dated a deaf guy many years ago, mm-hmm. and I've kind of very fringe involved with them, and I see them, and I know enough about my rusty American Sign Language to communicate, but I feel horrible. I'm like, no wonder they're half misinformed. Nothing that's coming here, unless it's produced television where it's actually
right,
a TV
live
show
television,
that's
course,
scripted,
if it's produced.
But news and these live debates, they have no idea.
Oh. And I do it. I watch it at the gym. You know what I mean? Like the gym that I go to, mm-hmm. the elliptical machine has a TV screen, and mm-hmm. I pick the ones
so you
that
can
have
run
those
towards
captioning.
The yogurt on the screen.
I'll say I run towards Anderson Cooper, but
that's a fair statement.
But and you have to kind of like play word jumble and like, well, here's what I think they're
here's
trying
what
to
I
say.
Think. Yeah,
it's
sometimes
sort of like
you have to say it out loud.
It's like the memes of bad lip reading.
It really is.
Oh, I love bad lip readers. I can't wait till this one, because the one for the Republican debate was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go on the internets, which is probably how you found us.
Yeah.
And type in Republican debate, bad lip reading, and watch that
video. Yeah, that is pretty
funny.
And every couple of weeks, one comes out from football that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But the Republican debate one was really funny. What's the... There's one going around now that's...
A bad lip reading?
Oh, the bad lip reading is the... it's the commercial for the for the... It's kind of like a lint remover, but it picks like cat hair up off the rug.
Oh.
And you watch someone like brush their cat and get cat hair off their shirt and stuff. So they're like tickling their nipples with this thing that has, and it's just fucking wrong.
I got nothing.
It made the internet sweeps about 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh.
It's called the sticky something or other.
Of course it is. Oh my God. Are you sure we're talking about the right one?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very funny.
I want to tell you, sometimes I listen back to the show and I catch things, and then sometimes I see things and I'm like, oh, we talked about this. I remember a long time ago, you brought up somebody that I should look out for, and I had never understood it. And then all of a sudden I started seeing these yogurt commercials, and I'm like, God, he's cute. Who the fuck is he? And I finally researched it. You told me about 2 years ago to look out for Cam Newton.
Football player. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I almost want to buy Dan an Oikos yogurt.
Yeah.
Almost. But you know what drives
me? I thought you were going to tell me you finally got Activia and you're now regular.
Oh, no. I mean, to dream the impossible dream. Yeah. The impossibly. No, but what drives me crazy about that, my OCD kicks in when...
Is that I'm not married to Cam Newton?
No. No. I'm not that. I wasn't worried about that at all. And he's not either. No, but what drives me crazy
is... just one person's worried about that?
You. Yeah. It's only you.
Raise your hands.
What I was... what drives me crazy is whoever produced that commercial, he should have had a manicure before they shot it. And it drives me crazy every single time.
It's hard to get men to get manicures. But I would hope before we get married, he gets a manicure because... I'd have to do it in his sleep after I drugged him.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your happy time pill.
Sleepy, sleepy.
None of this is weird at all.
Wake up. No.
My version of date rape. I'm going to drug you and get you a manicure.
Is a haircut and a manicure.
I'm going to Bill Cosby you just to a manicure.
Just a better personal hygiene and then let you free to go about your day.
Sell your yogurt, my friend.
Shave that fucking beard and do something about the... Mm.
He doesn't have a beard, but he's a cute kid.
No, I just want to wear a t-shirt now that says, shave that fucking beard.
Oh, and cut off your man bun. That's my thing. I want to be on a one-woman campaign.
Please, God. I feel like we should Hunger Games everybody with man buns and it just make
me.
It stop.
It drives me crazy.
All right. I'm in.
These are the things that... These are a few of my favorite things.
And there's that really nice commercial for Men's Warehouse where they're wearing, like, nice suits. And then they have
some long-haired hipster asshole.
Yeah, the hipster the man bun. And I'm like, I don't care what you're wearing. You got a man bun, sweetheart.
You lost me at man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you lost me at bun. Sorry.
The suit, though, marvelous.
The suit is amazing, yeah.
from yuppie beard down, or what yuppie beard? Not yuppie beard, that's what I was...
Man bun.
No.
Hipster.
Hipster beard down. No. Yeah, that's... You got your good suit.
Because now the beards are getting long and bushy. This new log cabin... There's got to be something to eat in your beard is just so gross.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't know. So, hello, Dawn from Washington. Hello, hello.
Oh, hello, Dawn.
Dawn's back.
She's here. Get over it. Whew.
Yeah, so I am not a fan of that stuff. And I'm just like, all right, Duck Dynasty, settle down.
Yeah, can we all just calm down?
A couple of guys that I greatly enjoy are like super like bushing out with the beard. And I'm like, yuck.
Because then they want to hug you, and I'm like, no.
No, please don't.
I need your entire shampoo regimen, including a video
on
set of
me at all.
Yeah.
Like it. Okay, kids.
I mean, I went 12 hours without shaving, and I feel like I'm not a lady anymore.
That's 12 hours for you?
No, it's like 24.
Oh, okay. Still, that's... Yeah. Wow. Those hormones are working.
Fingers crossed, we'll get there someday.
I'm still in only like every other day kind of a shaver.
And never the legs.
Never the legs. Just the chin hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
It's good to prioritize.
There are a lot of women in the country that do just the chin hair.
Well, I think if you start shaving the legs, it grows back worse. So you might.
I don't know if that's an urban legend or not, but I haven't shaved my legs in like 15 years. Like. We're not.
I do it like four times a year.
And she wonders why at Home Depot they confuse her with a man.
I don't wonder.
Sir?
I've never wondered that. I look in the mirror every day. It amuses me.
Oh, yeah.
It entertains me to no end, especially how offended that other people get when they misgender me.
Yeah.
And then realize their problem, and then they're offended.
They're offended.
Yeah. I'm like, Oh my God, ma'am.
You should look more like Dorothy Gale.
Yeah, just be like, how are you the victim, Sarah?
I never worry about it at all. I'm actually more likely in a hurry to answer to sir than I am to ma'am. Like,
I think I'm just going to change my name to Val now. It's just easier.
I like it.
That is true.
It's every fucking day at work. And people are like, uh-huh. And they're like, do they call you Val? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you can just hear it on the phone. Hi, Val. Hi.
How is it? Explain when you answer the phone at work.
It's like 11C. This is Al. Hi, Val. Okay.
I'll go with it. What do you need?
Like, my voice got higher, but I don't think I threw a consonant in there. Like...
No, it's like I call.
So I would understand writer. Sale. You know what I mean? Like I would get it if the S turned. You know, if my long sibilant S or however you pronounce
this
that
is
word.
Sal.
So, yeah, right.
Got it.
If the lispiness of my being has encouraged you to add more S's, sure, I'm in.
Come on, we're on board.
The V's where I'm off the canoe. Like what?
I like Val. I think it's fitting.
I do too.
I hear she's nice.
I have never once corrected someone.
Sure, they're nice.
But then if it's something that I have to repeat my name back because I took like a value, like I took something that has to be documented and they have to start their
it's process. Al Perkins.
Oh, no, I don't say it like that. I'm like, oh, it's Al. And they're like, oh. And then they do the whole like,
oh my God. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? And how did you misdirect me? Yeah. What did you do wrong in all
I'd like to see the other end of the phone when people call into your work. So, well, I know I talked to Val about this already. And somebody's like, who the fuck is Val?
Well, I lost a house sitting job back in the 90s to that.
You've told this story before.
Yeah, my boss and his wife, I used to house it at their gorgeous house up in North Scottsdale, enjoy their pool all summer.
Secretly. No, I'm kidding.
And I did. Like, the Wilk would come over once in a while. Harrison would come over and enjoy the pool. She'd come and stay and, you know, we're at your house sitting.
Well, sure.
Shit. I can have people over. And it's in my mind. Well, the one day I talked to the woman who owned the house's mother, and we had a long conversation because we know each other. Like, we've actually been in the same room and been to a couple events together. And we had a conversation, and she kept asking she asked a couple of weird questions through the whole thing, but it was an extended conversation. I didn't realize she wasn't just being friendly because we knew each other. She actually couldn't figure out who I was and was, like, asking questions. So she told her daughter that I wasn't at the house, that I had hired, like, I had, like, subcontracted
out
to a woman. And that's why she was asking me all those questions. And my friend Annie was like, but I don't understand. Like, she talked to a woman on the phone. I'm like,
no.
Annie, I can give you a written transcript of that conversation. Your mother talked to me. She's like, but she's, I'm like, you can keep saying that all you want to, or you could go stand up at the drive-thru box and listen to everyone call me ma'am.
Right.
However you want to play. And she just never believed it. And then one day, like a couple years later, she was at work and heard someone call me ma'am over the phone. And she goes, does that really happen all the time? I'm like, including with your elderly mother, who had like a long conversation with me.
Hello? Yeah, I get you. Oh, my heavens. Well, here we are, quarter after seven. What? Cat FN Carlson.
Oh, North Carolina. Hello, Don Don.
Don Don. Is that not, forgive me, is that new?
Hello, that is new.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, Don Don.
It's an old Don, but it's a new.
Well, Don Don, welcome, North Carolina.
Wait. I just read that out. I'm sure I took that out of context, mother. My mother in the chat room saying, when you get to my age, the hair goes away.
I'm
going to leave that there.
I'm going to leave this here.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom, for.
Even by Marnie standards, is she coming?
Who knows?
No. Oh, okay.
I've not heard from her. I don't recall getting any messages that say, I'm tardy or I'm going to. Well, tardy is okay, but that I'm not there. I don't know.
Yeah.
If not, well, welcome to the threesome show.
Yeah.
Kat Carlson, what you been up to the past week?
Well, it's been a very exciting week.
Okay. Well, share it with us.
Yeah.
Got a job.
That was the. What?
What? Yeah. I got a new job.
Oh.
I did. Oh, well, I should say an additional job because I'm not getting rid of the
star tender.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not ceasing the star tending. However.
Star tending, Scholastic Book Fair, everything else you do.
Exactly. Now I'm going to work for Scholastic for, like, money.
Shut up!
I did all the HR stuff today. So
oh, my gosh, it's crazy. That's what, that explained the picture with you and the little vest and the tie and the...
And the everything, yeah, and the follow-up picture in front of the employee entrance.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah, I just saw you driving.
Oh, I just saw the employee entrance one.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
I'm going to look it up.
Those of you that are following me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter would have may or may not have seen...
Tumblr, Reddit.
I do post to Tumblr too. Not Reddit.
I don't even know what those things
are. Oh, I see it now. Look at that.
Yeah. So I started my morning with a drive to far away the warehouse, which is a good like 45-minute drive from my house because I had to go do the new hire packet, the tax forms,
pee in a cup, all that fun stuff.
No, there was no pee in a cup.
I specifically requested that.
I really just had to. You know what? I really
you
just had to
read a book, Stone. They're sure of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I really just had to sign an agreement that you know I wouldn't start my own book fair. And
yeah, because that's yeah. Is that a thing?
I feel like that's a big threat. I know.
Wow.
And that I wouldn't come to work drunk or high.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's. I know.
Kidding.
That seems like a fair deal to me.
So weird from other jobs that I've had.
Yeah, I did.
I signed it right along. But no, and then there's, of course, like the video with the history of the company with a fun, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire themed quiz at the end. And
ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. So that's what I spent my day doing. But what I get to do, and I've said from the very beginning of my experience with the book fairs, I said after the very first one, oh my God, if I can do this for a living, that's the perfect job for me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How much fun. And so now my job will be to go to various schools and help them set up their book fair and make sure that they have everything that they need and help educate them on different programs and
You're
how to use
all this
stuff.
You're a book fair ambassador.
I am a book fair ambassador.
I like that.
And I'm very excited about it. Yeah, so I get to go on my first kind of ride along with another person of my same position
in a
different
area. Will you
ship
people on the way? Is it that kind of ride along or no?
No. Oh, not a drive-by. Different.
You're not going to go for the kill shot sometime during it?
No. Not today, sir.
Which, by the way, for those of you listening, is totally different than the money shot. Just want you to know.
Way different.
Yeah, that's a whole other video.
If you have an option, go for the money
and
shot.
Not available, yeah. And not off. Available at the book fair.
Nope, sure well, not. No,
depends
no.
on what kind of book you're reading.
Not this one,
Round
not those.
Round upon.
Yeah, it's true.
Round upon. Probably right up there showing up drunk.
When dealing through K through 8.
No money shots.
No money shots.
I hope you don't listen to this, because this just went...
When dealing with... 5 to 14-year-olds. The money shot, super frowned upon.
Super frowned upon.
But yeah, so I'm very, very excited.
Why
I get
are the
to
pages
go,
stuck together? I don't want to talk to you.
I get to go see and be taught by someone else who does my job in a different territory.
Okay.
On Friday, and that'll be a lot of fun.
And if we may ask listeners who may or may not care,
oh, please.
Your territory is, I must, it, just
it's
a valley
be the Northeast
here?
Valley.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not the whole valley, like
no,
you're not going to the west
not the
side.
Whole southwest.
Got it. Okay.
No.
Okay. So you're the Northeast valley.
The Greater Phoenix area, I think, is divided up into four territories ish.
This is fun. I'm very excited for you.
I'm very excited.
I like it that you like expressed it as your green job, your dream job, and now here it is.
And here it is. Yeah.
I've added liquor to just waking up. What a great idea.
Oh yeah.
Yes. That's lots of that.
Awaken bacon. You're loaded.
Yeah.
Well, fun for you. That's cool.
Fun
so
for you.
So the first. So how long is it before you get to do you go solo and you get your own
in your own territory?
next Friday or
and when do we?
Fridays?
Oh, it's
now.
Only a week training and then they release you to the wolves.
Well, I already know what the fuck I'm doing. I've already run 6 fairs.
She's been doing book fairs. Since
I understand,
she was born.
Dear. I'm just trying to That's make a conversation.
True story. Now, when do you appear on a train in the cast of The Music Man?
Don't stare at the trombones. It just encourages them.
I feel like this is your job now.
All right.
They're going to all be on a train singing about you.
Okay, I'm in.
Oh, I'm sure you can get a book fair sing-along. I'm sure you can.
I'm sure I can do something.
Why couldn't you?
I'll figure it out.
Find that song.
What song?
The song from the opening with the train.
From
Music
Man.
The Music Man.
Okay.
It's a good song. I cannot bring it to mind, but say it or play it. It'll come up.
It'll come to you.
Yeah. But yeah, so
live in my world for a minute where everything's a musical.
I'll be a gal with two careers. Two just glamorous, glamorous careers.
Seriously, a working girl.
But it was very fun. I got a tour of the whole warehouse, and they, you know, give you the whole spiel. Like, this is how we do it, and this is how you pack a case, and the whole organization. I know.
Not sure.
More euphemisms.
Yeah.
Again, we're going to just let that lie there. We'll watch your pack a case good. Later.
Is there actually a book out there somewhere called The Danger of Homonyms? Because we need it.
I'm going to look for it.
If you ever find it, we need it.
All right. I'll look for it.
Euphemisms and homonyms. How a conversation can go terribly,
terribly,
terribly
wrong. Yeah. In three short hours on a Tuesday night.
Sad news. Martin, what you... Oh, never... Oh.
Cash for the merchandise. Cash for the button books.
This is it?
Cash for the cotton goods. Cash for the hard goods. Cash for the fancy goods. Cash.
Oh, a lot of cash. A little skip ahead
except
here.
Except for we take...
Yes, sir. Who's going to...
patronize a little bitty 2x4 kind of store.
White people rapping.
What are you talking? Where do you get it?
See, he heard rapping right away. I remember last year the big scandal at the, because they turned it into a rap song.
No, the, I missed all that.
Yeah, the, when Hugh Jackman hosted, and they did it as a rap song. They redid the lyrics, and everybody was like, and the first thing you heard is a rap song. That's what it sounds
like. Right, that's exactly what I heard. Oh, well, that's very charming. All right, let's move along. Al Perkins is here. He's awake, and he's ready to go, and he's got his raspberries.
And apparently Dawn in the chat room says it's nice in your world.
It is nice in my world. There's always a musical playing somewhere.
I should have a theme song just for Al's world.
This week's set to John Denver.
Write that down. Al's world theme song.
Pens everywhere. What do you mean?
No, like my computer pen. I lost it.
Oh,
are you stylists?
So mostly I just worked and worked and worked. Yeah. And then earlier in the summer, I had been to Red Rocks in Denver. And they had the John Denver Memorial Auditorium. Like it was
flight.
Kind of, it was kind of like the,
like
I don't know
the
what
Cat Carlson
call it, like
Memorial
the,
VIP
yeah,
Lounge.
The Denver, the Colorado Music Hall of Fame. Well, of course, when you think of Colorado music, there's only John Denver and then a couple of people you never heard of. So there was like a little museum to John Denver up there at Red Rocks, and it was very lovely. And I forgot that I liked some of his songs, and I swore
there's a few of mine
that I was that I was gonna make sure I had some in my iTunes, and then completely forgot about it. Well, today is the 18th anniversary of his death. Rocky Mountain, not quite high enough.
Actually, it was Ocean was a little higher than he needed to be.
Ocean came up to meet him.
He shot off of Malibu, right? Is where he crashed?
I want to say yes, in an experimental plane. Yeah. But so a friend of mine that really liked him that I used to spend some time with, and we used to go on some road trips together, and he always would bring in John Denver, and I would always be like, damn, that's really? Some pretty-ass fucking music. Like, we all made fun of him because he got kind of goofy and, a little out of style by the time his reign ended, but... Wow, going back and listening to Annie's song and there's another one that's so fucking pretty, but Calypso, the one about the year he spent on Jacques Cousteau's boat. Mm-hmm. But that Annie song is just, a little prayer. It's so beautiful.
There's so many. There's Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Yeah.
And there's some hickey, like, that's kind of.
Leaving on a Jet Plane, yeah. Mr. Bojangles.
Oh, he remade, obviously, some of the...
But the Leave It on a Jet Plane, I think he wrote that, and I think that the Mamas and the Papas stole it from them. Oh, their version is much nicer, though, because I almost downloaded that today.
It was several months back. I was channel surfing, and PBS had a special. It's one of those... It was a fundraising time on them, and they had a special John Denver, and it was some DVD thing you could get. It was a live concert of him, but also it was a documentary where he and... I don't know if it was the first, second wife, whichever one it was... and all of the good that they had done with conservation and forestry and everything.
Environmentalist,
It was very interesting to see all that. Because if you only knew his songs and didn't know everything else that he did, you don't know John Denver.
You don't know.
You don't know.
A fun little limited acting career, but the Oh God movies were fun in the day.
Yeah, that was fun.
Those were fun. I like
but,
those.
But Annie's song is the one that I just... It is just such a beautiful song.
Oh. And wasn't Annie his wife?
I believe so.
I believe that's correct. It may be first or second. I don't recall.
At least it wasn't a dog.
And I can't remember. I bought three.
Was not a dog.
Not a dog.
Let me
not
see if quickly I can find the other one to recommend. But I did.
Turns
buy,
out he did write "Leaving on a Jet Plane."
Yeah, because remember we talked about "Rock the Vote" and that it was John Denver.
And then Marnie and I thought it started in 1990.
And it was really for the 72 election on the Midnight Special, and it was John Denver and Mama Cass,
right. Mm-hmm.
And they duetted on "Leaving on a Jet Plane" to get that started. But the whole original Midnight Special was about getting young people interested in the vote through music, and it was really quite cool. And to see him, just him and his nerdy little guitar, it'll come to me. Oh, it was. I did just buy the three songs, but Annie's song. If you find that, it's just lovely. If you're not familiar with it, it's just a beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank God, so, I'm a country boy.
I mean, there's some super cheese in there, 70 song, but Rocky Mountain High. Although it's some story about a guy. I don't know. I guess he's getting high in the Rockies
or
something.
It's a pretty song,
but the chorus of that is just lovely. And when we were up there at the Red Rocks and looking through the mountains, when you finally get to the outside of Denver and you see the big peaks and all that stuff, and you just kind of. You don't remember the verse, but the chorus just seems so pretty. Colorado, Rocky Mountain.
But in that era, because if I don't know exactly what, like when Brandy, the song Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, came out, there's a whole
story song.
Right, there's a whole era of those storytelling songs that are
which
really
is literally
nice.
What a ballad is. A ballad is a song that tells a story.
But there's so many lovely songs. And I recall, again, going back to my childhood, my mom will obviously remember this, unless she has forgotten most of my childhood. I don't know. The dentist
By
that I went to as a
out?
Youngster. His name was Dr. Sapp. He's no longer practicing. But their office played a local radio station, and all they played were songs of that ilk, if you will. Yeah. And I remember as a little kid just being gassed out on whatever that gas is and just zoning
just
out.
Just rocking out to some Ronnie Millsap.
And listening to Brandy and Rocky Mountain High.
Oh, Brandy,
all this.
You're a fine girl.
I was just unhappy.
What a good wife you
would
be.
Yeah,
they
such a fine.
They just cleaned my teeth and did fillings, and I didn't care. But God, I love that music.
That's how I did. I stopped going to the dentist in Arizona for a long time.
Because the music got shitty?
No, because they stopped gassing you into a complete stupor.
Oh, they should go back.
I don't like that scraping at my teeth thing unless I'm completely fucking baked.
It needs to be.
And my doctor in New York, Dr. Palvino, God bless him, would stick like two prongs up your nose and just gash you to all fucking get out. And then you'd wake up like delighted and filled with Olivia Newton-John songs.
I've told the story before
you
on this show.
Me a heart attack.
I can't recall how long ago it was, but same dentist as a child. I recall being all gassed up and having all of the dental hygienists in the same room I was. They were listening to the story. I was trying to tell them what a great idea it was to put that gas in the air conditioning registers of cars because everybody would just calm down and drive really peacefully.
Yeah, into the next car.
Right off the cliff in Malibu.
I remember them standing in the doorway just wanting me to, having me explain this to them.
Because there's nothing funnier than people all fucked up from the dentist.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We got a talker. We got us a talker. Hey, Julie, you're going to want to put that call on hold. Come on and listen to this shit.
Come here, Val.
This fucker's never been stoned before. When they put me under for my wisdom teeth, they wake you up like halfway through.
Oh.
And they just check your level of sedation, make sure you're breathing. You
know, okay.
They kind of lighten up, and then they put you back under again. And I guess when I came back up, and I vaguely remember because I was reading Coma at the time, Robin, I can't remember what that author's name is. And
no
they
idea.
Made a wonderful movie with Genevieve Bujold and Michael Douglas out of it. But I had just read the book, and I guess when they brought me up, they put me down. When you go down too hard. Robin Cook, you come up a little bit more aggressive. You know what I mean? The further you go down, you come up a little bit more.
Is it your body's just natural fight to come?
Yeah, just to fight back. And I started screaming at them that I'd read Coma and I knew they were trying to steal my organs. So spoiler alert on the book Coma.
There's that, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like I missed a good bell opportunity there.
Where's your bell?
Oh. Spoiler alert.
I found it.
So that was my, I did absolutely, I just worked all fucking, another 60-hour week. So, you know, you just, anyways, you. there's how I describe my week.
Aside from that,
I forgot to bathe one day, though. I have to tell this story. I was so tired and so burned out that I got in the shower, stood there for a little while, and got out. And I was like, well, that didn't seem like long enough to accomplish anything.
But you did a rinse.
Nothing.
Wait,
I
that just doesn't count. You just stood there in the water.
The hot water.
That's what I'm saying.
So I was clean from like between my tits.
I feel like that counts. Wait, judges?
No, I had to get back in.
It counts.
I felt like we didn't even do the whore shower. We missed all the whore parts. You know what I mean?
Well, the PTA bath. If you don't use it, it's not considered a whore part. That's how I justify it.
I'm not a whore, sir. I've never used that part. All right, go ahead.
I'm equipped.
So I had to tell you what new levels of tired have
been
achieved.
Counterpoint.
That I forgot what to do when in a shower.
Well, aside from the normal...
Except for the liquid soap.
...gamut of things I get to do every week, I had the pleasure this past week of attending the Equality Arizona Awards Banquet on Saturday night at a beautiful new... venue up in North Phoenix. It's very, very North Phoenix. It's on 7th Street, but it's north of the 101. It's a 30-minute drive from here.
Oh, so it's
where God left his angels.
I forget. It's
like Desert Ridge area.
It's called Lux Genevieve something or other. It's a beautiful, beautiful
fancy
facility. And you know, I was like, it was way too far out of town,
mm-hmm,
or too far away. But if you live in that part of town, it's convenient. So it was a beautiful facility, brand new. It had only opened in March, a beautiful facility. And what I did was, like I do for the HRC conventions here in town, they call it VOG, which is, they call it Voice of God. which is the literally just the, you know, the off-screen announcer that announces the intros of everybody who's coming in.
In literary terms, that'd be the narrator.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, very good. So so I had the chance to introduce a couple people that I knew and one person that I had I just met. I did not know, though I remember hearing her name, Donna Rossi, local investigative reporter for CBS 5.
Oh.
Who was billed 1 year at the awards dinner, I just found out this past weekend, as the hardest working lesbian in investigative reporting. I didn't know she was family, but she is, and she's...
I feel like that's probably true, because I don't know any other investigative reporting lesbians.
She's a former...
And two, I don't know a whole lot of hardworking lesbians, so I feel like she's twice.
She's a double threat. She's been with CBS 5 for a long time. She used to be an anchor, I believe, in Flagstaff. She's a former Phoenix PD.
I gotta look her up.
She's done a lot of things. I got to introduce her, which was fun. But again, it's another one of those events where it's just fun to be a part of. You're given a script and you're given cues from a director, and you literally, I had 20 lines to read. Please welcome to the stage. Get this year's recipient of blah 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 award and a name. So that was kind of fun, and it was interesting to see all that. Now, the interesting thing for me was, and this will be, I think this will attest to how some of us are in real life. There is the personality side of us that is social and public and is out there.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm,
there's the side of us that we're really not that person. That's
that
how
our family has to like put up with, and they look at you and go, oh, you're kind of a dick.
Well, no, there's that.
No one ever
by the way, did you see my new sign that I put up there? Please don't be an asshole to me, because then I have to be an asshole to you, and I'm way better at being an asshole than you are. Anyway,
that's fair.
No, but to the point of being, I dare say, you Colbert your way through that, because there's the persona when you're out and about and who you are and who everybody thinks that you are, and then when you're home, you know, you're not always
chasing kids off the lawn with a baseball bat, maybe or maybe not wrapped in barbed wire,
and they may or may not be your own kids.
Yeah,
but that's true. They may not even live.
I know you live here, but get off the lawn.
But it's one of those things that I'm getting older, and I get that. And the crowd, fortunately, the crowd is same with my age, but there's also younger coming in. Well, it's the glitz, the glam, and the $35,000 a year millionaires who run around there, and I just cannot put up with that bullshit, and I can't mingle with that. So there was a big area where they were all doing a little pre-dinner cocktailing out on a veranda at this event center.
A veranda.
And I walked out, made one pass, and I'm like, I'm just going to go backstage because I can't be with those people. And the funny thing was,
$5,000 million.
I found myself doing that at events too. Like I'll loop the room twice and then be like, I'm out.
I can't do it. They were all, you know, and they all look fantastic. They're all in their outfits and they're all doing things. And I'm glad that they're there. They're raising money for a wonderful cause, and I get all that. But rather than playing fake conversation with all of these people that I really, they may know me, but I really.
Well, and it is tiring because you're a persona person, and so am I. Like, you're a, this is what we put out there, and this is, you know, who I am according, you know, who I want to be in the community. Not because I feel pigeonholed into that, but I know I sometimes carefully decide that this is who I'm going to be when I'm out and about, or when I'm at work behind the bar, or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And that's
right.
That's how you get kind of that reputation for being, you know, helpful and wonderful and a good friend and all of these wonderful things that people say about us when, you know, when we're standing there. Clearly not after we walk away.
Gone.
Ooh.
But yeah, but that becomes tiring after a while, yeah, too, because it's not... Because
I'm not naturally helpful.
Right.
Friendly.
Because I am none of those things by nature. Yeah. By nature, you can't get me to put down my book long enough to take a shower.
Yeah. And then you can't guarantee that I'm going to successfully take a shower.
Clearly.
So really, where are we?
And then I may just fill the tub halfway and take my book with me and just sit there for a while and then say, am I clean enough yet? And get back out of the shower. Like,
am I clean enough yet?
Right.
Did you wash behind your
That's
ears?
My inherent nature, but I, you know, it takes effort and it takes some thought to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to be this person, and I'm going to be involved in these things, and I'm going to be, you know, even to the point of I'm going to be, you know, kind and helpful to people, and I'm going to listen to people, and I'm going to, I've made a choice.
That's the hardest one, listening to people. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Wonderful customers, I loved hearing your stories, and please come tell me more.
said no bartender ever.
But yeah, the best part.
But no, you do.
Yeah. The best part is to, hi, Anant, is to do the new, well, I don't know if it works in the lesbanian community, but for an older gay, the new cloak of invisibility is the most fun thing to play. Like, when you're with a $35,000 millionaires, I love that, by the way.
No. And I didn't come up with that. I just used it.
I'm giving you credit for it. So you walk amongst them, and now, you know, I'm old, and I don't really give a shit. I'm not even seen anymore. Like, no one even sees me there. So I can, like, steal all the dips. You know what I mean?
I like how he's focusing on food.
Yeah, but no, you know what I mean? Like, the shit that you can get away with because no one, like, I'm just too old to be seen anymore in the gay community. And it's so much fun to, like, bob and weave in there. And, like, I think I could become a pickpocket at this point.
See, and
I think a life of crime is in my future because it's so much fun to be invisible. And if someone, like, is talking to me, there's, like, they like, go to something shiny a minute later.
Oh, they all
do. So if they're boring,
they
don't even notice that you just stopped listening and walked away.
Right.
See, you're, I'm not at all right there yet because I walk into every room with a big booming voice louder than the microphone and a selfie stick. So
right.
I still kind of announce my presence.
Yeah.
And I
do.
And if I were to have walked in with a selfie stick, it probably would have been a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Like people coming to you because they all want to be involved in that, yada, yada, yada.
That would take a whole personality transplant for me to walk in somewhere and expect.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But Clayton could still do it. Like you could walk in and decide, I'm going to work this room and I'm going to take a bunch of pictures and we're going to have a lot of fun. And you would have a lot of fun with it and it would be wonderful. And you'd be exhausted after.
And for a different event, I could see me doing that.
Sure.
But not for that again, because all they want to talk about is this label, this shirt they bought, this thing they have, this thing. You know, again, it's they want to act like they're all these big dogs, and I just cannot. Now,
tell me about your sound system. That's what I want to hear.
In fairness,
how big your TV?
In fairness, there were a lot. There were several 60. People. In fact, I ran into my dentist there.
Guy that used to gash you?
No. My current dentist.
Said Beverly Johnson.
No.
Too soon?
Yeah.
True?
Too soon. There's that. So I ran into him. And the nice thing about him when I ran into him was he couldn't be bothered by all the pageantry either. He's just like, where's the bar? And I'm like, oh, it's over there in the corner. He goes, all right, see you inside. I'm like, that was it. We're good.
Good work.
Yeah. And that's when the grown-ups arrive at a party. Where's the bar?
Yeah. And it was. So again, got to see some people that I have got to see or I've known for a very, very long time. And it was one of those odd things that when I made that choice to just go backstage, for a minute, I felt like I am all alone here. I literally felt that, like, I'm here. Nobody knows I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm just all alone.
Cloak of invisibility.
It kind of was.
It's a thing.
And then within 20, 30 minutes, somebody found me.
Son of a
knew
bitch.
Knew that I was there, found me, and came back to, took out of their cocktail time, came back to find me, to thank me, and to tell me that they were so happy that I was there to do, and that all that I do
is. So you got like a secret note, like you were working the revolution.
Yes. Katie June is so gracious.
And I didn't even know she was there. I found, because I left the second.
Then she was not turned on.
That was not her.
How do you enter like a city block without knowing Katie June's in the area?
I wound up after the event. I saw so many posts that were from there. I'm like, I didn't know they were there or they were there because I never heard them, never saw them.
Because you didn't stick around for cocktail hour.
I did not. When my script was done, there were still two pages. Like the last thing I had to say, there were two pages. So I looked around, went to the director, and I'm like, are we done? And am I good? And he's like, yep. I'm like, okay. So I packed up all my shit thinking, I'm going to get the fuck out of here before traffic gets bad. And I was home before they let out. It was wonderful.
Equality, Arizona.
Oh, my God. There's
Hooray!
That. All right, kids.
I was gone before they were equal.
Drop mic. Boom. Done.
Yeah. Boom. And thank you. For anybody that's joining us, thank you for ignoring the Democratic debate. And I'm watching it. I'm taping it currently.
I don't have to because I'm sure they'll rebroadcast it seven times. It's CNN for
CNN
God's sake.
CNN is stroking itself. It's reached.
Oh, my God.
A panic level. Marty's not getting back to me. I don't know where she is.
I'm surprised that there's not slot machines in the debate because they're in Vegas. But I'm sure they'll figure out a way to monetize.
There's probably
somehow.
Some in the lobby.
Well, they ran out of things to talk about today. I had it on for because my patient. I said,
CNN.
Yeah, raise your hand if you don't. You know, if you want me to turn this off, and she didn't.
She didn't.
She watched it.
All right, deal.
So I mean, they were out of things to talk about. They started talking about their favorite like gambling accoutrements.
Oh,
yeah.
Craps. It's always craps.
All right, kids. We're coming back with a segment we like to call Headlines. You call it. Yeah, let's see what they talk about now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
And now, we dance.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, everybody, here they go. Headlines. I'm doing it solo tonight. I feel all grown up.
What?
Oh, my God.
The voice of God, indeed.
Here we go. We'll start off with You Can Call Me Aunt Sue You. Is that your bag? Make America Gooder Again.
Yes.
Trash Wheel, Keep On Turning. And one that I know Al's going to love, and I'm going to find the link to it and post it in the chat room. Attention, Kmart shoppers. These and I'm sure other things we're going to talk about coming at you on a Tuesday night from Studio C. Oh, this one was all over the news today, and I'm sure it was probably on the evening news, but I heard it earlier today. A Connecticut woman sued her 12-year-old nephew for $127,000 for injuries she suffered from an exuberant greeting at his birthday party when he was 8 years old.
Exuberant greeting.
I'm already on the aunt's side, by the way.
The Connecticut Post reports that New York City resident Jennifer Connell said that the Westport boy acted unreasonably when he leapt into her arms at his 8th birthday party some 4 years ago. She says that he caused her to fall to the ground and break her wrist. Now, she's asking a 6-member Superior Court jury to find the boy liable for this injury. A listed phone number could not be found for the youngster's father, and we found out that the boy's mother had oddly died last year. Now, CBS News reports that Connell testified before a jury that when the child jumped, she tumbled to the ground as she tried to catch him. Quoting her, she says, "All of a sudden, he was there in the air and I had to catch him. At that point, we tumbled to the ground," she told jurors. "I remember him shouting, 'Auntie Jen, I love you,' and there he was flying at me." The 54-year-old Connell testified that she loves her nephew but thinks that he should be accountable for his actions. So, according to the Connecticut Post, Connell testified that she has a hard time walking up to her third-floor walk-up apartment in Manhattan, and that her social life has been adversely affected so much.
Severely, I'm sure. There's no salsa dancing.
Quoting her again.
She can't jack off a neighbor.
Quoting her again. "I was at a party recently and found it difficult to hold my hors d'oeuvre plate."
See?
Now, Connell.
She can't steal
if you
the
can't
snacks,
hold up your own cheese.
I know.
Connell admitted in court that she did not complain about the injury at the time, but did mention the injury has made life tough over the next 2 years of her life. Now, according to the Connecticut Post, the lawsuit states that, quote, "injuries, losses, and harms to the plaintiff were caused by the negligence and carelessness of the minor defendant in that a reasonable 8-year-old under those circumstances would have known better and would have known that a forceful greeting, such as the one delivered by the defendant to the plaintiff, could cause the harm and losses suffered by the plaintiff." God, what fucking lawyer did that? Now, in an update, just today.
Andy was shot by a firing squad.
We love an update.
An update to this story. Just today, a Connecticut jury took 25 minutes to find in favor of the nephew.
Thank God.
I think the clincher was the hors d'oeuvre plate plea for help.
It may have been, but you know what? Two things.
Okay. Fair.
Number one, movie fans might remember a movie called We Are Marshall, in which there's a scene where Matthew McConaughey is explaining to a littler guy how to avoid a tackle, which is to step aside and slap the back of the helmet. Right? I may be getting my football movie wrong, but the move is just the same. You take a step aside, the guy's coming at you, take a step aside, smack the back of his helmet, bam, he's down on the floor. That's how I currently avoid flying tackles from a 10-year-old.
Oh.
This is a thing. No, there's an age range, and I'm not sure when it ends, because I keep slapping this
and
kid around.
I'm 40.
And we're going to give this to you, because in this studio, currently, you're the only one who could have current knowledge of a 10-year-old attacking you.
Thing number two is that I actually employ this method on a child, because there is zero fear of any sort of injury. He just all of a sudden springs and leaps when he's very excited to see someone. And, I mean, he's like 75 pounds. That's a lot of... That's a lot of
projectile missile,
like
yeah.
Great, to be flying at you.
A Great Dane coming at you.
So I can somewhat understand the aunt's distress.
But I like how it took her 4 years to get to this. And, of course, I don't know.
Clearly she's broke. And she was thinking, right, who can I sue? That little fucker.
Yeah. Oh, he just lost his mom. He must
well,
have
actually,
some
she
kind
was
of
sitting
right, I bet you that's it.
She was sitting at a party dropping, like, wieners shrimp and Pillsbury dough. You know what I mean?
Dropping the pigs in a blanket all over the carpet.
I'm thinking she ain't fancy.
I also didn't understand.
She's probably a $35,000 millionaire.
She lives in Manhattan in a three-story walk-up. How did the broken wrist affect your walk? You can't hold on the rail? Banister.
Yeah. Took the jury 25 minutes. All right, I have a story.
Go.
Oh, good.
All right. A porn shoot accidentally allowed at LA High School. Is this one of yours?
No.
Okay.
But I'm intrigued.
The naughty schoolgirl fantasy got a little too real when LA area high school accidentally allowed a porno to shoot on campus. Scenes from the 2012 adult film Revenge of the Petites were filmed at Alexander Hamilton High School in Los Angeles. According to an NBC investigation into Hollywood filming in area public schools, the outlet reported the film's producers paid cash in order to film at the school over two Saturdays in October of 2011. The footage included a nude car wash scene in front of a parking lot of school. Well, that's harmless. The Los Angeles temporarily, the superintendent of schools temporarily banned commercial filming at all still school districts till they see how many pornos have accidentally been. Can we get an accurate count of the pornos, please? It is important that we ensure teaching and learning are not disrupted and that all filming activity is appropriate for our schools. They were misled about its illicit nature and would not have granted permission for the filming if they had known the shot was pornographic. It's titties washing a car. It's practically MTV in 1981. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're
Come on.
That's it. Now, what they should do is
the video was cherry pie, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Or pour some sugar on me.
Oh, that one too, yeah.
Well, so, and where did, oops, I did it again. Where did that come into play?
That's at the same school as Greece.
Okay. So,
that's nice.
But that, I mean, yeah, that
it's
is
not a, really porn, but,
right,
I mean,
but
it's a little less naked.
When
yeah.
you dress up a 16-year-old girl and sexualize her in a schoolgirl outfit,
you are.
You might just as well. You're giving yep. them, what is it? There's an expression there, like grist for the mill. Somebody Google that, find out if that's...
Sure.
I might have just pulled that out of my ass. But Los Angeles schools raked in nearly $10 million over the last 5 years from commercial film shoots. It's common for Hollywood production companies to use real schools as sets, and the extra funds go towards facility upkeep. So I'm thinking the answer to Marina's question over here with Aaron is to...
Film some shit in that new school.
Yeah, hire it out. Maybe a porn or two, and they can have books in their library.
Oh, and new desks, remember? Because all the old desks
yeah.
with old gum. Because you need new gum.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud.
And Los Angeles, way too fucking hot, by the way. Like, the drought's coming, but we'll have that as a headline in the middle. But they're over 100,
for crying out loud,
which means that where Harrison is in Altadena has to just be God's last half acre.
Oh, are they part of our heat wave?
Oh, worse.
Tropical heat wave.
There's nothing tropical about it, though. Like, no. There's no moisture in
and
it.
And now I'm working... I've been working all these shifts, so I'm only conscious for, like, the early morning or when the sun goes down. Right. So, to me, I think the weather's been delightful,
lovely.
But I also have not seen sun in, like, 6 days.
Like, sure. Like here we are, it's middle of October, and it's 102 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's crazy for us.
I did hear that, and I have a lot of stuff planned for tomorrow.
Oh.
So, I'm thinking antiperspirant might be in order.
Oh, sure. And a full shower.
Yeah.
Perhaps soap.
Oh, very good. Mm. Would you like to take a story, Kat, or would you like me to continue on?
I mean, I certainly can. I haven't finished vetting it, but we can see where it goes.
I haven't finished vetting it.
In that, I haven't read much past the headline, but it says, round and round he goes, man arrested after bizarre driving incident and police chase.
Ooh.
An erratic driver ended up in handcuffs and the subject of a YouTube video after joyriding in circles and cruising onto a sidewalk at the edge of a block party on Sunday evening. Sheldon... Alexander Adderley, 36
give it,
years
give
old.
Give it to me, Sheldon.
Is facing three charges. Aggravated assault on an officer.
Three
resisting
charges.
An officer and reckless driving for the 6:15 p.m. incident.
No
criminal
mischief.
God,
I'm so sorry.
Damn it. Sheldon, work on that.
Come on. Step up your game, bitch.
Despite the crowd gathered for a Pride Fort Lauderdale closing party and a police officer firing a shot at one of his tires, no one was injured other than the driver. He was hospitalized for treatment after running from cops, stumbling and falling face first onto the street.
Atta girl. Do we have an alcohol content? That makes the game more fun.
Working on it. How long is this article? It's not very long. I'll just keep going. It is confirmed that the incident involved the Fort Lauderdale Police Department and that one of our officers discharged their firearm.
Ooh.
Police shooting.
That's the
in
money
Florida.
Shot.
If I wasn't so anti-gun, I would, from here on out, start referring to gunshots as the money shot. This man's bizarre arrest was captured on a cell phone video by a barback at a nearby nightclub and was quickly posted on YouTube.
Because the barback was smoking a cigarette.
Right there? Yeah, because he was outside smoking a joint, probably.
That a girl.
Come on now. We've all worked with barbacks.
Yeah.
Out there smoking a joint.
Getting your doobie on.
Oh, The driver operated his 2001 Volkswagen in a willful disregard for the safety of a crowd of people gathered for a festival on a closed street.
And part of that was only the disregard because of the emissions of that Volkswagen, I'm pretty sure.
No, this is back when they admitted how bad it was.
Why did it have to be a Volkswagen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, and there's video of people like diving out of the way. That's so
well,
fun.
Well, wouldn't you?
Goodness. On the video, you hear police officers ordering him to stop and warning people to get back. As the Volkswagen headed straight for a busy corner, it slowly drove up onto the sidewalk towards the entrance of a restaurant. The sound of an officer firing a shot rang out, and the hiss of a deflating tire followed along with the officer's shout of, "Get out. Get out now."
Now, in fairness, this is
it
really...
It sounds like my last trick. A deflating tire, the shouts of, "Get out. Get out now."
In fairness, this is kind of profiling because they were stopping every car that was going down that sidewalk that day. So
well, once he got a flat tire, the driver made a run for it, dashed out of the car, dodged and faked out a cop who grabbed at his shirt before falling flat on his face.
The cop or the suspect?
No, the suspect.
The perp. We should call him the perp. Got it.
Somebody's been watching a lot of cop shows.
Oh, that fucking SVU.
In any event, if you want to, you can look for the video. On the YouTubes.
And the tubes of the U.
The tubes of the U.
Did I put a thingy? Hang on, I want to see if I put
look
a...
Look at all that time we just filmed.
A link. Oh, I did not. Okay. Well, we've all heard of airlines struggling over the past many years, turning to charging fees for extras like snacks, in-flight entertainment, and checked baggage.
Buckling your seatbelt.
Yeah, there's that too. Passengers who are unable to limit their belongings to just a simple carry-on have to dole out extra cash, and sometimes amounting into hundreds of dollars, to make their trip successful with all of their various wardrobes that they have to take along. But one company has figured out a way to help you avoid those pesky fees, but you'll have to do one little thing in return. Orion Travel Tech, founded by a former Continental Airlines flight attendant, they offer passengers the opportunity to turn their luggage into mobile billboards in exchange for covering checked bag fees. For example, a family wants to travel to Disney World, it'll cost them about $250 in baggage fees, and that makes a dent in their budget for travel, obviously, says creator Gary German. He told Today.com, "I want to alleviate that. Most people have corporate logos on their luggage now, and they're not getting paid for it." German said his background in both the airline and marketing world sparked his idea for the company. "I knew that advertisers spend $500 to capture one person," he said. "We thought we could do that for $35 to $45. So on his first test run to see if the idea could be put into action, 30 people approached him about his bag before he even got to the gate. And he says, "I tried it on 7 different trips all over the world, and the same thing kept happening. We ended up becoming the salesperson for whatever advertisement was on our bags." So I think that's pretty cool. They've wrapped luggage in various things like KFC, the Gecko from Geico, Army logos for the U.S. military. They have a number of campaigns already ready to go. Rio Olympics, Breast Cancer Society are just a couple of them that they're doing. So I thought that was kind of neat that, you know, the bags. And the other thing is, you know, it's your bag. I mean, coming off that carousel, if you've got the only one that you know that's wrapped in a fucking Colonel Sanders face.
Oh, but now my thing was, because people want to know, like, got any chicken in there? Because everybody's kind of hungry because they've starved you on that
on
flight.
On the flight.
So, I mean,
are
if you come along
getting
with...
getting mobbed for some herbs and spices?
Well, no, but people are going to ask 11. You, like, you got free chicken in there? Because, you know, when you see a bag, you're like, are you giving away chicken?
Right.
No one's going to ask you, giving away breast cancer? I've been looking for that, but...
But I guess that's all they're looking for is somebody, you know, they're... It put that logo in front of somebody, and somebody inquired about it. So then they're going like, God, is there a KFC in this airport? That's all they give a shit about. So I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. And if you can do that kind of a trade-off, pay for some luggage, it helps you get there. I mean, there's a lot of people in traffic. I don't think you see them as much today as you did.
Oh, my God,
years
when the car wraps were a thing.
Car wraps were everywhere.
Those were fantastic.
Yeah, I almost thought about wrapping the Hummer one time for it, but I obviously never did that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart way to go because... Make money off it. You're driving that shit around, especially in an airport. But, I mean, I could see where some things would probably work better than others. But you're going to get attention.
Yeah.
And how much are they paying you to do it?
Well, $35 to $45
a bag. So you're making a profit.
Yeah.
Because it's $25 a check, that motherfucker.
You just have to wrap it. I don't know what the...
$10, and all you got to do is talk to 75 people about chicken.
Which I was going to... I was already going to chat with like 40 to 45 about chicken, so you haven't really increased my burden.
With our counterpoint segment tonight, Kat Carlson. Yeah. 35 to 40 people about chicken. Thank you very much.
I mean.
Oh, Alfie, you have something else you want to yak
yes,
about?
Yes, I do. Hold on. I was going to. So Aaron is watching the debates and they're talking about how long they're going to be long. And you can't win this one because there's already complaints from the Bernie Sanders camp that the Democrats are sticking with six primary debates.
Right.
I think they're sticking to,
because
if I'm not
there's
mistaken,
only six of them
five,
on the
only
stage.
Five, people,
five
running.
People on the stage, right.
Possibly six if Biden chooses to jump in.
Uncle Joe.
If Uncle Joe gets in. So it's going to be, they're not going to be many, and there's no reason for it. And they've all kind of said they're not going to be nasty to each other.
Right.
Bernie and Hillary are not going after each other. Neither one of them are the enemy. They may get a little, you know, there's a couple little stickling points on both of their
records. And in the 30 minutes that I did listen to on my way here, you know, I it was playing already, and so I listened to it a little bit in the car and a little bit before the show started. You know, there was a whole lot of, absolutely, I agree with your point. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's kind of, like, forming alliances.
Yeah, because
already.
Most of you want to, the important part about the election is not, like, whether you like Bernie or Clinton. Yes, that's going to come up at some point, but the important part is that we, like, get the base out there and voting and then encourage people to vote, and we kind of all have the same platform. Bernie's a little bit more anti-corporate. He's been a little bit of a letdown on guns in the past. Hillary's been a little bit of a letdown on other things. They each have their places where they maybe haven't gotten to the same point, but they're all kind of at the same place.
Well, and the planks of the party platform are also, like, solidified and changed and set for the next season at the convention. So
because what they're going to do is they're going to ask all five of them, Planned Parenthood, and they're all going to go, yep.
Right. And so then, solid,
safe, legal,
solid
rare.
Plank.
You know what I mean? It's in. So, and just to get off on the political rant, like this whole thing of, like, Jesus save me from your followers is turning into the Bernie Sanders thing. Like, stop yelling at me that you like Bernie Sanders. I get it.
Right.
I enjoy him. He's been on Real Time with Bill Maher for years.
Sure.
I've been watching him on every single talk show he's ever been on. I always enjoy him. The socialist thing Jenny just brings up, he's more socialist.
Absolutely.
It's going to bite him in the ass at some point.
At some point.
He has the same problem. But I think he's pulling Hillary farther left. I think he's making her more liberal.
Right. Well, but elections...
Not more liberal, more progressive than maybe she would have been without him in the race. She's had to come a little bit further over.
Elections are won by the undecided, though. Like, everybody knows that there's X amount of people that are just going to vote this way no matter what, and there's X amount of people that are just going to vote this side no matter who it is. Like, there's this base that's always going to vote for the Republican guy. It doesn't matter if it's Trump or if it's Walker's gone, but any of the other idiots, if it's Carson, if it's whatever, these people are always going to vote for that. We know them. It's these people in the middle that they're trying to sway anyway.
Right. And you're not going to get them. Like, I watched all five of them came out and give their opening presentations that I watched
missed that part.
Live before, you know, when I got up, and I'm like, and I really was kind of like, all right, we're all on the same page. You know what I mean? It was kind of like a babysitter. Like, all right, you're going to argue about something.
Talk
but
amongst
you all
yourselves.
Get along. Go ahead. I can leave you unsupervised for a while and watch the video of it later. And
sure.
Although I did catch in the...
But the Bernie Sanders, his followers really got to settle it down.
Settle the fuck down. Well, he actually has the catch line of the moment for what I was listening to, because I'm listening and they, you know, they get into the Hillary email thing and whatever, and Bernie Sanders is like, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the email, shut up about it, you know what I mean, to the whoever the moderator is,
Anderson Cooper, and that actually is it, like that's the end of it. And now that it keeps coming out, like, McCarthy lost his job, he lost his chance to run for Speaker of the House because he admitted on he forgot that people listen to Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
And he admitted,
outside of his bubble.
He admitted it's a witch hunt. And then the guy who was I can't remember what his job was that got fired was like, yeah, we're only going after, like, that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
So now the new line is, and the commercials are fantastic. Hillary's commercials, if you've seen them,
I haven't.
She's not paying for them. It's the Committee to Elect Hillary Clinton or whatever it's called.
Sure.
Her commercials are hysterical because she just plays them saying, yeah, we're not really after anything here. So it's gotten a little ridiculous.
We're not going to get anything here.
And we will get to SNL because SNL has just... Oh, we did last week.
The Hillary one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
Amy Schumer was
genius.
On this week.
All right, so I have a story.
Is it
right?
You?
Is it me?
I think it's you.
I believe it's me.
Why don't you hold it and we'll do this little ditty.
Oh, how time flies.
And then we can do this, and we can do the drinking word.
There's fresh coffee, right?
And I did make a fresh pot of coffee. It should be warm. Actually, can you just... top that up. Don't even need to add anything. Because I want to be a psychopath like she says black coffee is. Something like that. I don't know.
I think I'm good. Thank you.
Once again, everybody, thank you for being in the chat room. So many people. And then, my God, what are there? Finland and Thailand and India, New Zealand, United States, all these listeners.
Oh, isn't Nero in Finland?
I don't remember.
I remember Nero was Finnish.
Al keeps track of all this. I don't keep track
of it. Where's the list? I'm going to ask when
he's got
the
list. All right, kids, coming back with the drinking word, more headlines. We're just going to talk for another 2 hours. Stick with us. Join us in the chat room. It's Q Talk America. Thank you for being with us on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, breaking news, breaking news. We located Marnie Ryer. She's in Minnesota. Apparently,
so she is not down here driving. She's in the bigger map up there.
Yes, yes. Apparently, she sent an email to me that I have yet to find. I'll have to look for that. But anyway, she's not going to be with us, but it's all right. We'll make do without her. It's the show. It's a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C. Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and me. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I know, that's all I got. Hi.
Hi. Hey.
Okay, well.
Carl.
Carl.
Hi, Nero.
Oh, Carl. What the hell's I going to do? Okay.
We don't know.
And we had a Luis Antonio.
I know. New. Luis.
Oh, no, no. No, no.
Oh. Is he one of yours?
Is it Luis? Is it Luis from São Paulo, Brazil?
Oh, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, that might be a good. You said we had a Brazil. Yeah. Brazil.
Because he did say something about listening.
I've been keeping that little note for the whole time that I finally found
it. There you go. That answers the Brazil question. Land of hope, land of hemp.
Someday your prince will come.
I'm going to let that go.
Keep stroking it, yep.
Let that go. All right, kids. Anyway, we've got to take care of this little bit of business first thing at the beginning of hour two. And it goes a little something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking word is lady boner.
Yes!
Where did that come from?
Queen Latifah. And wait, what was that horrible movie? It was terrible. Didn't have Vince Vaughn in it.
Oh, did she cook?
No, that was Steve Martin. I don't remember.
Holidays?
Stand by. No, it was. I'm pretty sure it was a Vince Vaughn.
So at work the other night, this
dreamy
doctor that I've been following around for years, literally stalking. Mm-hmm. Actually showed up to work as part of the team the other night, and it was kind of funny because I'm like, this is the one that I've been talking about for the longest time and following, but over the course of the night he became less and less attractive the more we spoke.
Okay.
And so at the end of the night I'm like, the lady boner is starting to go down. So
I see.
I was partially right. The movie's called The Dilemma. And she doesn't say Lady Boner. She says serious Lady Wood.
Lady Wood. I like Lady Wood too, but Lady Boner Killer. Like.
Lady
so my Lady
killer.
Wood went a little limp. Like I gotta tell you, like.
Oh,
Because when they came in, they asked his name, and I'd like, well, I'd like to be Mrs. that name.
Mrs. whatever you, however you identify.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. however you self-identify.
Yes. Okay, continuing on with our headline section. I just had to scroll. There we go. Trolling comments.
Oh, it was me.
Oh, you? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. You
yeah, are, my lady boner was already, and then you killed it.
Oh, killed your lady wood. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. So DNA from man's poopy shorts leads to his arrest. It was the doo-doo that did him in.
Alliteration.
Rodney Mark Hendricks, 49. You'd think he'd know better. Is accused of burglarizing a Denver preschool and church in August 2014 and was caught due to DNA testing of a pair of poopy shorts left in the bathroom at the crime scene.
Okay.
So did he break in because he had to poop? Crime scene. Poopy diaper. There you go. Poopy okay. pants. A preschool employee noticed the crap-stained clothes and put them in a plastic bag before the police arrived, according to the arrest affidavit.
Oh.
The responding officer took the contaminated shorts into evidence, but it took 13.5 months for them to worm their way through the forensic labs, according to Lynn Kimbrough, a spokesperson for the Denver District Attorney. I feel like Lynn Kimbrough was involved in our last story, too. In Colorado, a DNA sample is taken from anyone who is arrested for a felony. So when they ran the unknown sample, his DNA was already in the system. He'd already left them something from his lady wood.
Kettle soup breeze.
Yeah, from his lady wood had already left a sample. Kimbrough did not want to venture a guess as to what the poopy shirt smelled like after more than
Jesus.
A year.
That's a testament to Ziploc bags, I'm sure.
Hendricks is accused of stealing two guitars from the church and numerous electronic items for the school. So I guess when he left, lost a band. He was charged earlier this week with 2 counts of burglary, 2 counts of theft, and 1 count of identity theft. Identity theft? I don't know. According to the arrest affidavit, the suspect
were they
was already in custody.
Drawers?
That's what I was thinking. That's what exactly what I was
thinking.
Already
in custody on unrelated theft and drug uses when the shit hit the fan, according to the Denver Post.
They have a fan in that lab?
So we'll find out what happens on October, October 16th for the formal sentencing, and we'll find out if he has a lawyer.
Oh.
He will not make it onto Dion's
Foxy Felony
Friday.
No, I'm sure
no,
he won't.
He looks like somebody who'd shit his pants in a preschool.
And not be one of the attendees of the preschool.
There's no Lady Wood. There's no Lady Wood looking at this photo.
I don't even know where to go with that. Here's where we're going to go with
Do you have another unvetted story, Kelly?
No. This one's reasonably vetted. I actually know a little bit of something about this
reasonably,
one.
Reasonably, okay.
Reasonably. Got well, I kind of bumped up one from my segment that I had almost forgotten about.
Okay.
So we're going to start with a hashtag, and the hashtag I want you to follow is hashtag Cox, not Glocks.
Oh, there you go. I saw that up there earlier.
Students at the University of Texas Austin plan to protest an extension to its campus carry law. That's right. University of Texas Austin has a campus carry law. That means you can take your gun to school.
Take your gun to school day. Woo!
Not all day, every day, in fact. It allows, the campus carry law allows license holders to carry a concealed handgun, not only on campuses, but into buildings. But students are planning a protest in a unique way by strapping, quote, giant swinging dildos to their backpacks.
I heard a bit of this today on the radio. Go ahead, All right.
The quote reads, "The state of Texas has decided that it is not at all obnoxious to allow deadly concealed weapons in classrooms. However, it does have strict rules about free sexual expression," says Jessica Jin, the organizer of the Facebook event, hashtag Cox, not Glocks. She writes, "You would receive a citation for taking a dildo to class before you would get into trouble for taking a gun to class."
Well,
so, yeah, it's been
because sexual expression is dangerous.
Oh my god,
shooting somebody, good times.
Sure,
yeah,
think
I
that
mean,
one
sure.
through.
Yeah, the UT's obscenity policy, according to the Facebook post, is that no person or organization will distribute or display on the campus any writing or visual image or engage in any public performance that is obscene, as defined by the Texas Penal Code section 43.21 or successor provisions.
You know, if they intervene down there, if the college intervenes, you know what they have? UTI.
Oh, I know. There's a boner killer.
I'm so-
Lady and otherwise.
Yeah. Boner killer.
This is my Lady Wood before the pun.
Bad pun.
This is my Lady Wood.
I'm sorry for the bad
after
pun.
After the pun.
Sorry. My bad.
Oh.
Cox not blocks.
Cox not Glocks.
Harrison, are you referring to some place where they strip cars?
Yeah, I don't
A gay neighborhood where cars are stripped. Cocks, not blocks. I'm sorry.
Well, we have some time to follow this story because as of Monday morning, more than 4,200 people had agreed to participate in the event. The event not being scheduled to be held until August 24th, 2016, the first day of the 2016-2017 fall semester. So we have
and think of how many school shootings they can have before then. That's the exciting
they
part.
They can totally have a lot because what do we have, like three this week?
Yeah, you can have like 20, 30 kids dead by the time you do that thing.
At least. Like, let's make that our baseline.
I think that's the NRA should just advertise that. Like, by the time you get a gun law passed, we can have like 70, 80 dead kids.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
Stack them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Stack them.
Stack them up. Where were we? Oh, yes. Trolling comments on presidential candidates' Facebook pages in search of grammatical errors is a task that will get just about anybody's eyes rolling. At least the search for typos, misplaced or missing apostrophes, unnecessary capital letters, and redundant exclamation points bears fruit in mere seconds. Now, reading these is really not going to do much good, but if you look, there's a for those of you in the chat room, there is a link for the Trump grammar story. For example, one of the first ones is, you're the inspiration to every citizen of the world. That's something about to Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders, there's one that says, best way to campaign for him is to share him on social media at work and also share him with people face to face. There is not any punctuation between the first letter and the last letter of that entire phrase. The entire
it's a hashtag.
Phrase. Yeah.
I don't really want to share Barry Sanders face to face. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders.
But amid the flawed, headache-inducing verbiage, there is a
famous
pattern.
Detroit Lions running back.
What? Okay. Grammarly, a private San Francisco-based company behind what's billed as the world's leading automated proofreader, the company analyzed comments from 19 presidential candidates' Facebook pages and found that, one, supporters of Republican candidates make more mistakes than supporters of Democrats. Two, supporters of Republican candidates use fewer unique words than supporters of Democrats. And three, Donald Trump supporters make the most mistakes of them all. So whoever you pick for the president...
first one being a Donald Trump supporter.
Right.
Whoever you pick for the president of the United States. One thing certain, political topics inspire passionate discussions. The company wrote in its blog post, with a lighthearted and heavy-hitting algorithms that they have, we visited each candidate's official Facebook page and looked at the comments there to see how well their supporters handle themselves when they communicate in their writing. Now, if you go to the link and scroll down, there is a chart, and I will go through it with you.
Oh, we love a chart.
Mistakes per 100 words. Democratic people have 4.2 mistakes per 100 words.
That's not bad.
As opposed to the Republicans who show 8.7, almost nine words mistaken per 100. Now, in the Democrats, per 1,000 words, Democratic people have about 300 unique words per 1,000, and Republicans are slightly lower at 245. The average number of words per comment... Democrats are a little higher than that with 41.8, whereas Republicans show at 32.4 of unique words per comment, or average words, I'm sorry, per comment. So then if you go down in the chart that's in the link that I posted in the Facebook or in the chat room, you go down through all of the different ones where it shows all the different supporters and how high all of the errors are. And Donald Trump leads them all at 12.6% out of all their supporters. 12.6 words per 100, mistakes per 100 words. The lowest would be Lincoln Chafee. Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
The guy?
Mm-hmm. And that's his problem.
In the Democratic, he's the lowest at 3.1.
Is that what he goes by?
His followers, 3.1 words per 100.
Because there's only two of them.
Yes, so those. Hillary Clinton in that is 6.3, who is tied with the lowest or the highest person in the, excuse me, Hillary Clinton, with the highest 6.3 per 100 words with mistakes in the Democratic, is tied with the lowest rated one in the Republicans, with Carly Fiorina at 6.3 per 100 words, going again all the way up to Donald Trump at 12.6.
And Rick Santorum, dumber than a fucking box of rocks. Yeah. Now, he hasn't dropped out yet, right?
To my knowledge, no. Okay. He's still running down everybody's
list. He's still Santoruming all over everybody?
All over the place.
You yes, know, indeed. You know this comes back to reading, right?
Yeah.
Way to bring it home, Kat Carlson.
No, Scholastic.
It actually doesn't. This isn't necessarily Scholastic Kool-Aid, but it kind of is. People, I'm going to say it anyway because it's true, and I believe it's true, and I believe it needs to be said. People who read the most tend to be the most compassionate, most educated, most well-spoken and most reasonable people. Because the one thing that reading gives you that nothing else in the world can give you is all of the perspectives.
Yeah.
You can get into and read a book from every perspective possible.
Was this in the HR paperwork you filled out earlier?
No, today? No, no, but it's actually true.
This
like,
is, this is,
I kid. Lady boner, killer.
That's the true thing. And the problem, the big problem countrywide, like nationwide, is here comes Honey Boo Boo. You know what I mean? There are how many million people that would rather spend their evenings
right.
watching an illiterate trailer park child on television. I mean, she's long gone and we've covered that, but I was listening to an old episode where we talked right. about her, so she's on the top of my brain. But this is how people choose to spend their time. And I love television. I watch plenty of television, yeah. and most of it really dumb. Shonda Rhimes has my attention 4 hours a week. Like, come on.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Right. I'm reeled right in. But you can't forget to take time out from that and read something. It doesn't have to be highbrow. It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be biographies. It doesn't have to be. It can be whatever you like. But for God's sakes, read something.
And compare, contrast a little bit. Like if you mm-hmm. see something that's just bashing a headline that leads you to think that like Trump is losing support, but you're reading it from. If you only knew news or addicting info news, then
right.
go
those
read the
are,
same.
Those are very much skewed.
Go read the same story from the right's point of view.
Perspective, right.
And just read that way. Like, you don't have to read a whole book, but read articles.
But read something that's yeah. not the internet, too.
Right, that's like, what I'm saying.
Read
like,
something,
find other
pick
sources.
Up a fucking magazine if you have to, yes.
Unfortunately, most magazines are online now. Like even EW wants me to sure. like please right. do this online.
But if you
please
at least
make us stop mailing this to you.
But if you at least go to the magazine's website, that is a vetted. You would think those would all be vetted facts.
It depends on the magazine.
But it depends. Like if you're on Blaze.com, you're going to have something completely skewered to one side. So right. I just go find the story on another site and get it from like yeah. the middle ground or see it from the other side. But there's all these things now, especially we get into like. V for Vendetta is fantastic. That's the book that they're talking about in the chat room right now.
So good.
As you get up, just look at everything from different perspectives. Like, okay, that sounds really terrible, but now just turn it around and flip it around and see what they're doing. Like the Katrina mm-hmm. story. Like the story of Hurricane Katrina, you can read from like every single person's story, including Michael Brown, you know, good job, Brownie. You could read it from his point of view where he thought he was completely maligned and was the victim of the whole thing. Because he's that misunderstood. And it's interesting to find somebody so completely fucked up in the head that people are drowning and dying and he thinks he's the victim of Hurricane Katrina. Mm. But it's an interesting thing of like, well, now I know what kind of person I never want to meet in person. You know what I mean?
And like, there's that light bulb that somebody out there feels this much differently.
Right, right.
You know, because so many people get to a place where they think that what they and their friends know and believe and see is the only way,
mm-hmm.
which is some of the trouble with the religious liberty types. Like they're conditioned and they, you know, just grow into this life where ours is the only way. And you have to get out there. You have to
meet
find
people.
The way. You have to meet the people. You have to read about the people. You have to talk to the people.
Travel, reading, anything that opens you up to more people,
yes.
more different perspectives.
Yeah,
you know, ride the subway, ride a bus for yeah. once, and find out like you're all on the same bus.
And
like,
so, coming back to your article, it makes complete sense to me that the most illiterate people are the Trump fans.
Sure,
because they're the exact same people that are watching Honey Boo Boo. They're the exact
right.
same people that
right.
haven't picked up a book since they were sophomores in high school.
That are just like, so excited that the racist uncle that they love is on TV saying the same things, and they're like,
no, they know him as the guy from The Apprentice. Like, yeah. hey, the guy from The Apprentice is going to be the president.
Right.
Fucking cool. And he's saying all the racist shit
he's
that I want to say.
He's on TV. He must
yeah.
be right.
Yeah. And that's it. He's saying all the racist things that I want to say. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like asking him his opinion. Like, I could be, and they're thinking, I could be president. I have
sure.
like horrible racist opinions.
Oh.
We'll get to him in entertainment.
We'll
I have one more.
Continue on.
All right.
I have more too. Continue on.
Is Carry on my way.
Whose turn is it?
I think it's yours.
Okay. DUI suspect allegedly claimed dog was driving car.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you thought the dog ate my homework was a bad excuse, check this out. A DUI suspect accused of leading deputies in a high-speed chase in Manatee County. Guess where?
Florida!
There's a boner killer. Allegedly told authorities that his dog was the one behind the wheel. deputies gave chase to Relaford Cooper III, 26, after catching him speeding at 7:45 p.m. on Wednesday. Cooper allegedly fled, ran a stop sign, drove through two ditches, and eventually crashed into a house.
What was he driving?
I'm assuming a car.
An SUV of some sort.
Cooper took off on foot and sought refuge in a nearby church, but churchgoers chased him off the premises.
With pitchforks and fire.
Exactly. As all Christians do.
Get away from our steeple.
We don't believe in that sanctuary shit. We're American. While he was being handcuffed, Cooper
told Trump supporters.
Trump supporters chased him away. While he was being handcuffed, Cooper told deputies, "I wasn't driving that car," the report said. He then allegedly elaborated, "My dog was driving that car." The deputy who arrested Cooper noted he smelled a strong odor of an alcoholic beverage, as well as an odor of burnt marijuana. So not properly cooked marijuana. Mm. What is burnt marijuana?
It's been overprocessed.
No dog was actually spotted in the vehicle, a spokesman with the Manatee County Sheriff's Office told the HuffPost. Bristow also noted that there have been no new developments in the case since Cooper's arrest. So what was the new development going to be? Like Lassie whistling at Timmy in the well?
Timmy, where's the pot dealer?
Yeah. Apparently, Cooper isn't the first to allegedly pin suspicious driving on a canine. Cops near Orlando, Florida, said a woman gave them that same excuse in August. But really, some canines might actually be better drivers than intoxicated humans.
Valid point.
Humans. In 2012, a New Zealand animal trainer taught three dogs how to drive using specially modified cars, and the results were pretty impressive. Okay, and there's actually stock photos of dogs driving.
There's video of them. If you look on YouTube, there's video of the dogs driving on a closed track.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping it real, Florida. Way to get your job done.
Side note in regards to Florida, this weekend, the Equality Arizona banquet that I was voicing, one of the speakers, the keynote speakers, is, and I don't remember her name, she was from Florida.
Oh.
So she goes up on stage and she opened up with, "It's very nice to be in Arizona, a state that gets as many bad headlines as we do."
Oh, I love living here.
Oh, that was fantastic. And when she came off stage, I thanked her. I'm like, that was the funniest thing.
And Nance, I will message you. I got to go home and find it. It's something about the moon. It's a wonderful book about a Native American gay boy finding himself, and it's something about the moon, and I can't think of what the name of the book is.
Huh. Glittery Moon.
Glittery Moon. No. It's just a beautiful story of a young gay kid growing up in the reservation and his experiences. I think he was on the reservation.
It's called Two Tents, torn between a wigwam and a teepee.
Yeah, when you get between the wigwam and New York City.
The best special appearance,
the
Liza
best
Minnelli.
That you can do is get a lady boner. Anyways, I'll find it and I'll message it to you. I can picture the cover and I can't. Maybe I can Google it. That'd be fun.
That's funny. Kat Carlson, do you have something else?
Well, sure. I'm going to go ahead and follow up on an old story. I don't know if you heard.
Like the follow-ups.
Walter Palmer might ring a bell, like vaguely in the back of your mind. The Minnesota dentist and big game hunter killed Cecil the Lion. While on a hunting expedition in July, will not face any charges in the beloved cat's death. Zimbabwe is not pressing any charges. There are no charges to be charged upon him in the United States.
Right. For him.
For anybody.
Nope. The guy that led him knowingly off property, off the sanctuary or whatever it was where he was supposed to have shot the animal. Remember they led him off property? Out of reserve or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
The one that led him and knowingly led him, they're going after.
Well, for those that don't know what the fuck we're talking about, a dentist from Minnesota went on safari, basically, in Zimbabwe and hired guides to go hunting lions, which is perfectly legal there. Like, you buy a license and you go hunt your lions and whatever. However, there's a protected preserve in Zimbabwe where Cecil is a beloved character locally. And had lived there for a very long time. And so what happened was, allegedly, the guides lured Cecil off of the reservation, basically. Not reservation, preserve.
Preserve.
Off of the preserve. And then they shot him with an arrow, followed him for 40 hours, a day and a night and a day. And then he finally, caught back up to the lion, killed him with a gun. And then went, oh shit, he's got a GPS tracking collar on him.
Whoopsie.
This could be bad.
Yeah.
And so then the guides supposedly tried to destroy the collar. and, you know, destroy all evidence. And so then the dentist came back to the U.S. and there was internet outrage, and they like posted all of his personal information. And I would, you know, I had gone on a whole tangent about that because I do not trust the internet mob.
Right.
Oh, right.
Because they'll turn on you in a minute. Like they're, I mean, it'd be really good for the show and for ratings, and we could probably make some money on this if the internet mob would turn on us for a minute. But
sure. As soon as I install bulletproof glass in that window.
Well, sure.
Because you're taking the kill shot.
Right.
Well,
standby.
Any one of us could.
We're safe for now.
Oh, just for now.
For now.
As soon as I put up the perimeter, stay off my lawn.
I mean, if Al starts screaming, the dogs show up. So no, who knows? But yeah, Walter Ballmer is back to his life, has paid no fine, and will not be charged with anything.
So, but I heard he tried to open up the office and then had to close it again because there was so much shit going on.
According to CNN, as of today, he closed his office for a time while the Twitter mob was after him, but he's back to work and back to life.
Oh, because I thought he opened it and then closed it again.
Back to reality.
Yes, all of those things.
All sounds the same.
All of those things. I have a feeling we may see him again, though, because apparently Cecil's killing is not the first illegal killing for Mr. Ballmer. Suspiciously, a man with the same name, age, and from the same town illegally killed a black bear in Wisconsin several years ago, according to court documents.
Mm.
So we'll see. Maybe some years ahead. But as of right now, if you were wondering whatever happened to that dentist guy, that's what's happening to that dentist guy.
And I think it's where capitalism should take its toll. I mean, of course, the gun nuts will support him because he shot something and he's a hero.
Hooray!
But I'm hoping that the rest of the town will just publicly shame him. Like that's
And that's how that's supposed to work. Like with the all the cake bakers and all of those people, like they've all since been shut down. And, you know,
and hopefully the next time he tries to get through, you know, security or gets through an airport to go on an international travel, they like
check him extra good.
Yeah. Make him take a little longer. So maybe. I just have an update for Anant for his book club.
Okay.
And actually, anyway, it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. It's called The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon by Tom Spanbauer.
Well, why don't we add that to the Cat Carlson Memorial Book
Half
Club?
Indian bisexual boy who lives and works at the Indian It's just absolutely beautiful. It's just a beautiful book, and it's one of those ones that I recommend to new people coming out. And it's just a different perspective to get it from the Native American perspective, and one of those books that you just want to read on a rainy night and then just cry afterwards because it's just so beautifully written. Oh. Beautifully written book. The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon by Tom Spanbauer.
Just remember, don't cry out loud. Keep it inside.
Yeah, keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings.
Yeah.
Just sound psychological advice from 1979.
Right.
Via Melissa Manchester,
ladies and gentlemen.
I have just added it to my want to read list on Goodreads.
Oh, well, here's a good story.
Happy story.
I put them in sort of a sequence so we can go through the good things. A water wheel in Baltimore's Inner Harbor has removed 160 tons of garbage to date from the waterway in just under a year.
Wow.
That's 97,000 plastic bottles, 80,000 potato chip bags, and a whopping 4 million cigarettes removed from the waterway, so polluted that it had failed its 2014 water quality report card. The remarkable photograph, which is in the story, shows just how much of an impact the water wheel has already had in its short life. The photo on the left in the story that I will post a link to in just a minute, the photo on the left was taken in April of 14 after a torrential downpour washed a harrowing amount of garbage into the harbor. A mere 4 million cigarettes later, a similar storm earlier this week had almost no recognizable impact on the harbor whatsoever. The solar-powered wheel is equipped with a conveyor belt, and as the belt turns, garbage and other debris travel up the belt and are then collected and disposed properly a little bit later. The wheel, dubbed Mr. Trash Wheel on social media, is just one part of the Waterfront Partnership's Healthy Harbor plan to make the harbor swimmable by 2020.
Drinkable? Not in our lifetime. Swimmable? Possible.
But I actually liked their page today on the Facebook, because I thought it was a very cool. In fact, there's the link. I just posted the trash wheel story so you can see the pictures yourself of the device. And I remember seeing this on, I want to say it was 60 Minutes or like CBS This Morning. I saw them do a story about a year ago when they had just launched it. So it's good to know that it's doing some good. It just literally on its own, the wheel from solar activity just paddles itself slowly around the harbor and just picks up shit.
All I Googled was Baltimore water wheel, and the stories are amazing. 4 million cigarettes, 19 tons of Inner Harbor trash.
everything.
Every fucking city, get this on here. Right. And if you're a smoker, God bless you. We're not going to spend a lot of time chatting.
Right.
And you put your cigarette out on the ground or throw it in the water, I will harpoon you. Even with a GPS tag, there is no sanctuary places. Safe.
Right,
put it in your fucking pocket.
Yeah,
it's like Roomba, but for the water.
It is, or like Woomba, but not for your vagina.
Not anymore.
You have to have seen the Woomba commercial.
I did not see the Woomba
commercial. When you have that not so fresh feeling, and the fresh. Woomba comes to your house and finds you.
Is that an SNL skit?
Yeah, they have Maya Rudolph like running through the woods being chased by the Woomba. It's hysterical.
No, but I saw a commercial for the new and improved Roomba, and I was like, I still need one of those. Yeah, I
know. I've always thought it would be cool to have one, but they are pricey.
They are expensive, but they clean for 2 hours without a charge.
And I love
that. And then they know to go home and charge.
I do not clean for 2 hours without a charge.
No, and
I do not clean for 2 hours.
And the cool thing is,
period. End of sentence.
It takes itself back home.
I know.
To the charger. Oh, I'm running low.
It says, oh, I'm tired. I better go home.
I gotta go home. That's crazy. It's crazy. I want one.
And then, because the internet was invented for porn and then cats, then look up cats and Roombas.
The one dressed in a little shark outfit or the dinosaur outfit.
And shark cat?
Cracks me up.
He's my favorite.
I showed it to my mom one time and she's like, the cat's got to be drugged. The cat's got
to
be drugged.
One of my Twitter followers inadvertently introduced me to emergency kittens on Twitter.
Emergency kittens?
Yes, and so it just like keeps sending you adorable kittens doing adorable things.
Lady fancy. I think we're lady boners back. I feel like the pussy might bring out her lady boner.
Lady boner status?
Full staff. Is it a blue diamond? No, it is. Is it a blue veiner or a diamond cutter? I think that's from Porky's, where you have to describe your boner.
Of detail.
I used to love that, a blue veiner or a diamond
cutter. And we're back.
I'm
down we go
for your lady parts.
Yeah, I lost an entire day to emergency kittens on Twitter, though. Like, you don't even understand the problem. Yeah. I woke up in the morning, like, checked all the relevant social media before I got out of bed, of course, because that's what I do.
I'll click on the link I just posted for Cat Roomba.
Oh, my God. Is it amazing? Is that the shark cat?
It's the shark cat.
I love shark cat. He's so good.
Yes.
And all he does is sit there. He does is sit there. Is it the one where he's chasing the duck?
No. He's just in the kitchen with the woman. There's the sound of the Roomba.
I'm worried about both of you at this point.
And the cat, it just turns, and the cat's... The cat stays.
No, I have to go. Click
goes
on
to the
link.
Other wall and it bumps it. Watch the cat. Boom. Turn. That fucking cracks me up.
Oh, but there's so many of them. And the best part is he's wearing.
Well, I'm glad I'm not missing a lot of life by working too much. If this is what you're doing while I'm making money.
Listen, Val.
Hence why. No, but the best one is the one chasing the duck. Like, you then have to go click on the one where he's chasing the duck, because that's
the best.
Well, luckily,
it's the next thing that you took. Okay. Now this is riveting radio.
Oh, wait. I have to look at that. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. You haven't seen the one where he's chasing the duck? It's amazing. God.
Okay. Now I could see being delighted by that for a while.
I have to get there.
It's good times.
Oh, I'm being cock blocked by a fucking ad. Stand by.
Oh, ads.
Oh, according to this, that little sumbitch cleans well. Oh, I got to get me a iBot Roomba.
Oh, my God. What's sad?
Oh, there's the duck. It looks like... There he goes.
I like that you turn it up like the duck or the cat are going to do something.
I just want you to know that
they
I'm watching...
They don't say anything. No, they say nothing.
But I like how much you like the gentle sound of any kind of vacuum cleaner, that you turn that up as if it was... Okay. Stimulating for others.
I'm going to go back to my phone.
And the best part, the best part about this is that Shark Cat Chasing a Duck was posted on November 1st, 2012.
Oh, it's been there a while.
This is a 3-year-old video.
It's a threefer.
And it still comes up number two.
And still cracks me up to tears. Like, it's still hilarious.
Yeah.
I may not have a whole lot of excitement in my life these days.
Well, I mean, it's a cat, a shark, and a duck.
I'm saying, how do you go wrong? In a vacuum.
In a vacuum. Why would you ever get out of bed when that kind of entertainment's available?
Well, unless you have to save the duck from the
on Roomba. A portable device.
Portable.
And I may or may not have a few friends that kind of do similar activity on like a Saturday afternoon, like kind of laying in bed and fucking around on social
media. We got to get medical marijuana for both of you, because I feel like you're not experiencing this all the way through.
I feel like this would be amazing high, right?
If you're this amused by cats riding Roombas,
cat photos,
Aaron, you may be our target audience.
A meme maker app and a friend to text them to is all I need on a Saturday afternoon.
Aaron from LA says in the chat room, listening to other people watch YouTube cat videos, the epitome of great radio.
I said it out loud like 2 minutes ago.
I didn't hear you.
It's a true story.
Because I was watching cat videos. Sorry. Aaron,
my favorite is that you turned up the sound.
Aaron, I have one thing to say to you. Get on board or get out.
Yeah. Say it or play it.
Say it or play it. Do I have a final headline for you? I mean, I know I do, but
I did not pick one up, no.
Okay, so here's our final story.
You go ahead and do it.
And I put the link. I'll do it again in the chat room. There's the link to the story. Al Perkins, this one's for you. Mark Davis worked behind the scenes at the service desk at the Naperville, Illinois Kmart back in the late 80s and early 90s. And every month, the corporate office issued a cassette to be played over the store's sound system.
Yes.
Canned elevator-type music with advertisements that were dropped in every few tracks. Around 1991, the company Muzak then replaced was replaced with mainstream hits. And the following year, new tapes began arriving weekly. Now, the cassettes were supposed to be thrown away in every time, but Davis dutifully slipped each and every one into his apron pocket to save for posterity. He collected the strange discount department store music until 1993, when background music began to be piped in via satellite and other live services. So nearly 20 years later, Davis has digitized his whole collection of 56 cassettes in all, and just recently made the recordings available at his archive.org site, accompanied by some more background on this bizarre treasure trove. For a taste, listen below, and there's a link I'll post, to the sweet sounds of October 1989. Oh my God, I'm sure it's fantastic. All of these Kmart songs, which we used to get weekly, was it weekly or monthly? I forgot. At Musicland, when I worked there in 87, they would have a in-store audio that you had to play to promote sales and different things that were coming up. And so I still have some of those. I also have a huge series of Rick D's weekly top 40s from the 80s when Faith and that whole George Michael craze was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to play occasionally because you get a Stridex commercial. You get, you know,
Stridex commercial.
You get Stridex commercial.
Because teen acne is still a worry.
Still, for teens. Yeah, sure it is. But it's interesting to, I got to find that link right quick, because I think more stimulating radio for Aaron is if we play that link. Kmart Music. Oh, no. Oh, I got to go to news. There we go.
Jesus.
Pardon me. Stimulating radio right here, but
it's good. I'm trying to get it to play from the website in my producer headphone over here in the one ear.
Stop. My producer headphone. I have producers telling me.
Where in the hell is
I put an earbud inside the headphone now so that my producers can really talk to me.
Oh, you know what I need to find? If I do this, I bet I'll find.
If you click this and then that. And then over here, clicky, clicky, clicky. Oh, there's.
Please entertain yourself. Oh, here we go.
Oh, good.
Ah, here's an extra 30th birthday from, is this it? Oh, no, here it is. This is it. Oh, wait, we're playing two things.
One thing. One at a time, Mickey.
I'm sorry. You know what was playing? Cat on a Roomba soundtrack.
I approve this message.
I'm terribly sorry. Cat on a Roomba has its own soundtrack. So if you'd like to watch that, you can get your own soundtrack to it.
I love Cat on a Roomba.
Let's play this again.
Shark Cat Chasing Duck.
October 1989, Kmart soundtrack. Ooh. What song is this?
Amazing.
It's lovely.
Am I supposed to know?
I don't know.
Oh, God. I said everything.
Let's scan ahead.
With Martha Stewart.
Oh.
These are audio quality of the hiss of that cassette.
I love it.
Ooh, what's this?
What godforsaken place would this be? Would you be assaulted by this?
Kmart.
Oh, Kmart used to play real music back in the day. That's where I first heard Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
That was actually the point of the story. Somebody stole all of the official Kmart Muzak tapes. Ooh. And recently uploaded them to the internet.
We scanned too far
ahead.
But
it wasn't Muzak. Back in the 70s, when you went to Kmart, that's where you heard real. It was still real music,
right?
Not Muzak.
Oh.
And then in the 80s, they started distributing the official tape.
This almost sounded like Heaven Help Me from Dion Estes, but I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know either. I don't think any of my real songs. I think they're all royalty free, and they could be the theme song to this show.
Oh, no.
My God.
You missed the new On Hold music. You didn't even pay attention to it.
Oh, that's true. It was fantastic.
Can we share that? Can I share that with you just for a second?
Where are you going to be on hold at?
No.
No, the pre-show.
Our On Hold music.
Oh.
We have new On Hold music. For those of you who don't join us before, because I play music before the show so you can find us and get all this. Yeah. Here's our new On Hold music.
It sounds almost exactly the same.
Take a walk down the wild side. That's
no.
It's Breakaway by Donna Summer.
Oh, yeah.
I know the
rap. I told you.
She was feeling better.
No, wait, I'm going to break in.
Break away.
Yeah, in a minute I break in. So that ruins it. But I made all of our On Hold music all instrumental Donna Summer. In homage.
Well, I love that. And I'm sure she would agree.
In memoriam to you.
I thought so.
The Al Perkins,
is something going to fall on my head?
The Al Perkins Memorial. Yeah. So anyway, are you...
Can lean into a poke. Still leans into a poke. Lean in. CNN, lean in.
That could be the name of a book. Still leans into a poke.
All right.
Are you
I'm
ready?
Yep.
You
got next caller.
Here we go. Al Perkins. Why didn't it play?
Oh, because we're still...
Oh, you know why? Because I hit the wrong button. I hit the wrong button.
All right.
Oh, so good.
Sylvester Stallone is the answer to the question from last week's rumor mill.
Oh.
Bruno Mars has some news. Liza Minnelli takes an Uber. We have a canceler. SNL picks a host that I'm not happy with. And The Walking Dead returns.
Hooray!
To gigantic but not record ratings yet. So we'll start with SNL has got Donald Trump to host for the... second time. First time since, I think, 2004. He will host the November 7th, which would be the election date episode.
Oh.
A little scary. I'm not sure about
scary,
that. But they've been screwing him pretty hard. I did not see the Amy Schumer. I just saw the cold open, and I saw the, which was really funny. They did a Fox and Friends. And whenever they do a Fox and Friends...
always hilarious.
Always funny. But at the end, when they scroll for all the facts they got wrong in the first hour, and you go down and, like, Jewish people are real.
And, like, tell Ben Carson that.
All the facts that they get wrong. Oh, my God. Ben Carson. He just got to be taken outside.
If only the Jews had had guns, they could have ended the Holocaust.
Yeah, that's
according to
it was.
Ben Carson, not me. Ben Carson.
But there's that, and on that topic, there's that old thing that Hitler took away... guns.
Other guns.
No.
Wow, setting them up for failure.
But never happened. But you'll talk, and I have talked to people about this, because people be like, well, you know, that's what happened in Germany. Hitler took away everybody's guns. No, we didn't. That's not even like debatably true.
I don't even remember.
But
who
you
said
hear that all the time, and then you'll like Google it and be like, no, I mean, people had
that's
guns here
happened.
And there.
No.
Like they still hunted for food occasionally. Like, but nope, no one took away anybody's guns. No roundup of the guns.
Anne Frank may have been packing in the attic.
We don't know.
We don't know.
It's just one of those weird rumors. Mm. Liza Minnelli, in a funny story, had to get from one part of North Carolina, if Don is still listening, to another part of North Carolina. And she was not going to be deterred by strong winds or turbulence. Her plane was like sent back to Wilmington or Charlotte. I'm not sure if she was trying to get to Wilmington from Charlotte or one way or the other. But... she Ubered it, the 200-mile drive.
Wow, that's a hell of an
Uber. And it only cost her $200, which I thought, well, that's a strong advertisement for Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're $1 a mile.
Huh. Well, that's a thing.
As a former driver for Uber.
I was not aware. So,
it was $1.20 a mile when I was driving.
Was that surge pricing?
No.
Or was surge driving?
Surge pricing is the only way.
I think Liza's surge pricing is over. I think we don't surge price.
We don't surge.
We don't surge for Liza anymore. But, so very... very a funny story that she was not going to miss a chance to perform for her public in a crowd of 1,500, which they kept saying in the article, like 1,500 was a big crowd.
But she had been billed to be there.
She was billed to open the Arts Center.
Who was performing with her? I forgot. Wasn't it a
Waylon
friend of hers?
Flowers and Madam, no. I'm sure.
Really? back from the dead. No, the if I'm not mistaken, that story wasn't a band leader or a piano player, somebody that was a friend of hers or notable.
And off the top of my head, I can't think of who the the piano player was.
You've got
was
the story.
Famous, but no, I actually I do somewhere. And I can only get to three pages at a time. Leave me be.
That's fair.
But it was just it was just a great story of her pluck that she was going to get there and do her 200-mile drive, and then I thought about it. I'm like, what's that? Like 2 hours? No, more like four hours. But she made it there, and she on with the show. Good performer that she is. So now we're going to get to a really bizarre story that we talked about last week. And remember, I told you that we were talking about Richard Gere. And that fucking gerbil story, that there is an actual source been traced back. Mm-hmm. If you read these horrible, let's say you troll down through all the comments pages on every story you ever read.
Which I often don't.
Yeah, and you get to the bottom and there's always like, these co-stars hated each other, or the worst people to work with.
Right.
Or these people are like, have said anti-gay things. And it always pisses me off because they always pick Julia Roberts as being like hard to work with because she didn't get along with Nick Nolte in that one horrible movie that they were both bad in, when everyone commonly says that Julia Roberts is a delight to work with. She's one of the people that almost everyone seems to enjoy, but that story with Nick Nolte because he was a dick comes back to her. And Donna Summer is always in the anti-gay comments. She's always like the 19th person out of 19, even though they mention the lawsuit and that all that bullshit. But anyway, so this Richard Gere rumor has been around for years, and there was the thing of that, he lived above a leather bar, allegedly, in New York when he was on Broadway. Then he drove across country with Herb Ritts to L.A. and got photographed. So there was a lot of rumors about him being of the homosexual persuasion. Turns out he was in a movie called, cast in a movie with Sylvester Stallone called Lords of Flatbush, where they hated each other. And allegedly, it's Sylvester Stallone that started that rumor. One will comment on it, but that's where it came from. And I think in the Lords of Flatbush movie, I want to say Richard Gere was recast. It was so painful to film that they eventually recast.
From 1974?
Yeah, 1974.
Group of kids in Brooklyn form a gang. From this moment on, they do everything together.
Yes.
The Lords of Flatbush.
And I think Sylvester Stallone is still in it.
Perry King, Sly Stallone, Henry Winkler.
So it's Richard Gere, and it's where all of them come from. Like, that was a lot of their, like, and you probably don't know who Perry King was, but he had a really long run of, like, late 70s, early 80s fame. He was kind of a little hottie back then.
So it's The Outsiders.
Oh, it wasn't Perry King. No, Perry King's not the Scarecrow, Mrs. Crow, but he's of that ilk.
He was in Day After Tomorrow. He was in Riptide. He was in Lords of Flatbush. What else?
He has a late 70s. He had like a late... Is it? No, he's not.
I'm going back to the 70s. Hang on.
Bruce, Melissa Gilbert's first husband is the Scarecrow and Scarecrow Mrs. King, because I loved him.
He had some appearances on Hawaii 5-0.
Boxleitner. He's a Boxleitner. Yeah.
So anyways, so in case you're wondering where that gerbil thing comes from that we won't repeat, it's allegedly from Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
That's fairly creative.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So,
very creative. Good for you, Sly. Very creative. That's a lady boner killer.
And why? A big lady boner killer. And the fact that he dreamed it up in the 70s and that story still goes around.
Still happening.
Yeah. Kind of like the Jamie Lee Curtis hermaphrodite story that still makes the rounds. Because everybody knows somebody who was the nurse that was there the day she was born. Bruno Mars is working with the producers of Empires.
I'm going
to
wait.
Set to make a show for next fall about a musical family in Brooklyn. We're not sure if Bruno will be in the cast, but it's about a Bruno Mars type.
So maybe he'll play like
Empire, the fabulous
but
uncle.
In the Heights?
Yeah.
Oh. It's called Empire Strikes Back.
Uh-huh.
Kidding.
So anyways, but big news for Bruno Mars that he's literally trying to conquer the world.
I'm on board for that.
The show Exit with Halle Berry, if anyone was watching it.
However you identify.
It really looked good at the beginning and then really wasn't good at the end. And they did a whole reboot, brought it back for a second season. They kind of forgot that it was on the air, and then somebody at CBS was like, oh, we got to cancel that shit.
Oh, that's still playing?
Did anybody call Halle and tell her we're not picking up that show? So, like, a month and a half after it ended, they finally, CBS announced the news that, oh, yeah, our bad, we canceled that show.
Yeah.
And then, most importantly of all, The Walking Dead that I was absolutely jonesing for and practically losing my mind waiting for it to come back. Came back on Sunday, 90-minute episode that usually when you hear 90-minute episode, you think, same 60 minutes of television, now with 30 minutes more commercials.
Right.
They went, so I had to pee so bad, and they would not cut to a commercial. That fucking show was light on commercials.
Hooray.
I don't know how they did it. It was very good, very exciting. Light on the stuff that I like about The Walking Dead when they get into all the like the characters after mm-hmm. the apocalypse and how we'll all treat each other and how it'll all go wrong and horrible people you meet on the street. And it was really heavy on the zombies. Heavy on the zombies. Very exciting, big, bold production, a grand idea. All your favorite characters are back and you can't wait to see them all interact. And there was no Carl. For those that hate Carl... Carl only has one scene in the show and no dialogue. Came back to still staggering numbers, down from last season's premiere, which last season's premiere was hard to top because our people were in peril.
Right.
This one, they were just standing around a bloody corpse. You know what I mean? The cliffhanger
people.
From last year was not as exciting as the cliffhanger from the one before.
Sure.
But still, like, higher than the highest rated show on regular TV. It beats Sunday Night Football. It's on against the baseball playoffs. Like, when they come back in October, that's a tough time.
Yeah.
So when the rating, when they come back and do their season finale, which is always so highly rated, they're usually against easier competition. Now they're doing Sunday Night Football, the baseball playoffs, all
anything
that
beats football, I'm on board.
And The Walking Dead does it consistently. And seriously, if the NFL can figure out how to get zombies to play football, they're going to
do it.
Because...
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football is the no-brainer for NBC, and the fact that NBC can't even win with Sunday Night Football because it's not until December that they go that The Walking Dead finishes its 8-week run.
If they can get Frank Gifford to come back and play football.
Exactly. Remember, Jesus was the first zombie, so Frank Gifford can be second.
Wow. Did Jesus play football?
Wow.
I'm sure somebody believes that.
That's a lot.
And just we so mad. I honestly. I'm drinking. Kat and I are drinking.
There's
wine beer.
There's
I'm wine.
There.
We're good.
There's coffee.
I'm good.
There.
Black coffee. Black coffee.
Busy,
and
busy,
I have to
busy.
Admit, I did not watch Extant at all. I mean, I watched a couple episodes because I like her, and I just really gave up on it. I had to give up on Scream Queens.
I think you mentioned that last week.
I think pretty much. I've heard that like everybody gave up on Scream Queens.
But
everybody was like, hurry
I just though. Deleted it. I just deleted it. American Horror Story came back.
Horror Stories.
Last Wednesday needs an editor.
Yeah.
Like again, there was like 5 great stories going on. He went for 9, and by the end, I'm like, all right, just stop adding more. Stop jumping time. Stop doing all this stuff. And Max Greenfield from. The New Girl was on it, and it gets ass-fucked for no reason.
Sure.
While Sarah Paulson cries looking at him and says, if you tell me that you love me, he'll stop fucking you in the ass with a blade. Very violent, very aggressively not great.
I feel like I'm going to continue to pass on that one.
I would. I mean, so far I've watched one episode, and I'm like, I can live without this. Now, what came on last night, what came back, is the new season of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
So good. All new cast. What's his name? Carradine. I'm easy. Keith Carradine. His character is. We're now back in the 70s,
okay.
And now it's Patrick Wilson playing the Keith Carradine, Kirsten Dunst, and I can't think of who's playing her husband. Just a phenomenal cast, and it is really, really good. The only weird thing was when they filmed it, they weren't having a polar vortex like they were the year before,
right?
Because the first season of Fargo was filmed. During the polar vortex.
Like outside when it was so cold.
So there was just
dying, right?
Snow everywhere. And it was just so funny. And remember, I was talking about all the times when they can't get a shot to go the other way. So, like, a character mysteriously has an umbrella in follow shots because they have to explain why it's not blizzarding on their side of their screen.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, there's just not as much snow. But from what I've read about the filming, at one point when they think they wanted it to be spring, Minnesota just or wherever they I can't remember where they film. I think they film in Vancouver. Just had a huge dump of snow.
Oh, so nowhere.
So all of a sudden spring doesn't come. It just becomes more winter.
More winter.
So it was just so weird for a scene that's so for a show that's so like rooted in where it's at. And last season worked so well because, and especially all of us that are from where it really snows, fake snow is so insulting to everyone.
Right.
Just make it a not snowy winter when you're filming this because the fake snow is so bad. And Fargo was just so about how cold they were and how outside they were. And you could just tell it was just miserable, shitty, middle of winter Minnesota with, like, you know, when the snow's all black and grimy in the road and everything's just shitty. And everything you own is just shitty. Like, you know that shitty part of winter.
It's like the 5th of January snow. Yeah. Like, it's wonderful all the way through the holidays, and then you're like, ugh.
And then they take the lights down.
We have 6 more months of this bullshit.
Yeah. And, like, the tires have turned everything black, and the snow's just
slushy.
So it had that feel to it. Well, this year it didn't, but God, Kirsten Dunst, she is so good. I mean, it's a really good cast, so I think that's the show to follow this year. Everything else I could, like, Limitless, I didn't care about. I have not watched Quantico yet. I've taped it. Somebody brought that up. Matt Bomer is very naked in AHS. There is a big sex scene with Matt Bomer, Lady Gaga, and two other people. It's very explicit.
Oh, I heard a little bit about it.
But it just felt like too much. Like, oh, we get it. They're fucking. Oh. And you know what I mean? And then it turns into blood and gore, and you're like...
Fucked her too hard.
Yeah, or have Matt Bomer fuck the guy. You know what I mean? Like, at least make it... I don't know. It just wasn't as erotic as I think I was supposed to find it. Like, I did not... Please do the thing. The Lady Boner, nah.
Dead.
The Lady Boner went down. Just see.
Still too stiff.
Ooh. It's cold out.
So it really was strange. So I think that's everything that's back that's of note. The Muppets still doing well. They probably won't be new tonight, but expect a full season order or at least a renewal for the Muppets because they're doing good and they're getting the buzz they wanted. Like the Million Mom March did exactly what all Million Mom Marches are supposed to do. They
Everybody
get people to watch
in
it. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it's helping with the tweets and it's helping with like that Miss Piggy is tweeting. And it's kind of funny how they're putting them, they're making them a real thing and turning it into like a Kardashians kind of parody. It's actually, I haven't watched the show yet, but I'm enjoying how they're handling the social media like they're real people. Like that's been really fun to watch.
Because I think I watched just the first episode, and I was like, "Yeah."
And it shot in the way of Office,
right? Right.
So it's all done
like a mockumentary,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Very, very, very funny.
Bye, Nero.
Bye, honey. And I can't remember. Ben Carlson. Can we just get on him to finish up entertainment?
Sure.
We got 5 minutes. Tard.
I'm over. I've had to change my name. I'm going to have to go change some Facebook pages.
Like, it's just not funny anymore.
No, it's not funny.
Like, he's just gone round the bend on every single topic.
Well, that thing that you, was it you that posted the thing where he has the interview with God?
Oh, my God. Yes, chatting. That was me. I think I posted that on my Dr. Ben.
The whole
Carlson
thing about
site.
How he wants to open their head and then he touches their brain. And it was so funny.
But the problem with that was, like, I would completely believe that was word for word.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's become this session's Sarah Palin to me. You know what I mean? Like the Tina Fey did that interview word for word, and it was just as hilarious and ridiculous when Tina Fey did it as it was when Sarah Palin did it.
Oh, right, right.
It was me that posted The Good God and from Funny or Die. Because Good God is actually really funny. It's kind of set up like this little podcast with God, and God's always wearing like the Hawaiian shirt and, you know, talks about some topical shit or whatever. And so we had Ben Carson on, and... Ben Carson was just like, well, I just want to reach out to everybody and just open their heads and just touch their brains.
Yeah.
My favorite line is when God goes, oh, you see there. Now that's where you went all wrong.
And from everything to like he would charge the shooter and he wouldn't get shot in Oregon. And then he was
in the Muslim president thing.
He was in the grocery. He was in the diner or in the convenience store when it was robbed. But then he wasn't in the convenience store when it was robbed. And has he ever been? And his campaign manager, when they were asked, has he ever been held at gunpoint? Like, can he talk about this? The guy was like, not to my knowledge. And the next day, he releases a story that he was.
Well, he was doing an interview, and he said that somebody had come into whatever, you know. Oh, it was Popeyes. It was a Popeyes chicken.
Yeah.
That's right. Because who did this? Either Daily Show or John Oliver did a bit on it. But no, Ben Carson did an interview and was like, you know, yeah, and he came and he put the gun up into my ribs. And I said, well, hey, man, you don't want me. You want the guy behind the counter. Basically just sold his buddy out. And
right.
Was, yeah. Real fucking hero.
I don't have the money.
Yeah, just
threw
another human under the bus. Like, you don't want to rob me. You want to rob the guy with the chicken.
Yeah.
But no one got hurt. But the campaign manager the day before saying, well, to my knowledge, he's never been held at gunpoint. And then the next day, Carson tells the story.
He was
held. And the,
he was held.
The campaign manager says, well, it's not my place to tell personal stories. Yes, it is. You're literally the campaign manager. It's literally your job.
You put the spin on all this. Yeah. You're the one who does this shit. Smart ass.
Oh, my God. He's just. But now the things that, like, if the Jews had been armed, they would have won World War II. It took like a League of Nations literally to defeat Hitler.
Sure. Yeah. And how many years?
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's an old racist grandpa joke anyway.
Right.
Like, that's an old racist grandfather joke. The whole, if Jews had had guns, they would have won. You know, Hitler wouldn't have.
No, it's the NRA's thing. Argument, because the NRA is the one that makes everyone think that, which, that Hitler
think
rounded up the guns.
Where do grandpas get it from?
Yeah.
The NRA's newsletter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've written off Dr. Ben Carson.
Because there's no humor in it anymore, unfortunately.
No, it's just sad.
Unfortunately, it's gone. It's no fun. So I am taking suggestions for what my page will transform into. Because it has followers. Like, it needs a thing.
they need a leader.
My people need.
Your people.
My people.
If you'd like to submit an idea for the Kat Carlson Memorial Facebook page or whatever the hell, send them right here to us at the show, info@qtalkamerica.com. Or join us in the chat room. Let us know there.
So various many, social
so
media outlets.
Minty things to check on. We're going to come back with more of either Al or Kat or me. One of the three of us is going to talk about something and you're going to enjoy it. I swear. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi again, everybody. It is us. It is we. It is us three in Studio C. Wow, that all just rhymed, and I didn't even plan that.
Wow.
It's Kat Carlson, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for being with us, everybody in the chat room, from Annette, Amina, Harrison, Dawn from Washington, Jenny, and, of course, Missy Al and Kat and me. My mom is in there somewhere. Hi, everybody. Ooh, it is a lovely 85 degrees in the Valley of the Sun on this Tuesday night. Just for the hell of it, post in the chat room how hot or cool it is where you are. I'd just like to know, around the world, what's the weather like? I mean, I could look it up.
That's nice.
But it'd be nice to know.
A little personal flair.
Like Amina and Anant, let us know. Let us know.
Do our international listeners have to convert to Fahrenheit so that we will understand it?
If they would like to help us along,
if they care to,
if they would,
because 23 degrees isn't going to help us at all.
No,
Al can
do the conversion. He's one of those people.
Where is it? 23 degrees?
We don't know. We're just picking up numbers.
I just made it up because I felt like
it's about 75. 23 would be a very pleasant temperature.
Oh. Ooh, it's nice to have that.
It's very close to
room because I read a lot of books. I know that somewhere in the 20s is a nice temperature.
Oh, you and your books! I swear, I'm kidding.
All you need to know is 40. Get out.
Oh.
Whether it's your body temperature, the temperature outside, 40, it's time to start making a plan.
Time to make a move.
Well, no, you should already have a plan.
Always have a plan. In that regard, let's have a plan to go to Kat Carlson, whatever the hell her segment's going to be. It goes like this.
Holy crap, I'm so very prepared tonight.
Yes.
As we all are. Yeah. Hashtags, I got 5. Here we go. Candidate sandwich. Hashtag everyone will know. Hashtag live from Mars. Hashtag big beer. And my favorite hashtag, the internet is for porn. These are the things that I brought to you, and you will like it.
You'll like it. You'll love it. You want some more of it. Kat Carlson.
Here we go. We're going to do them in order, because why not? Because that's how I listen.
Sequence. Goes up,
I mean,
up one.
Up one. Up one. So a very focused website called foodandwine.com. Decided to write an article and depict your favorite Democratic presidential candidates as sandwiches.
Okay.
Election season is upon us, and there are still far too many candidates with their hats in the ring. Each one is vying for a chance to lead the free world, but to do so, they must appeal to the humblest citizens. In short, the candidates all want to be something we'd order. Since there's a sandwich for every taste, much like there's usually a candidate for every political leaning, here's the second installment. Apparently, I missed the first installment, but I feel like it's going to be long. All right, we can look for it.
Kidding.
Well, there's a link to it right here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to right-click, open a new tab, and we'll get to that in a minute. In any event, we're going to start with the Democrats because they are... Are they still debating? Are they done yet?
No, they should be done.
They should be done. So here we go. Your Democratic presidential candidates as sandwiches.
I'm hungry already.
Number one, Bernie Sanders is the bon mi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
It's bon ami. Good friend.
That'd be French, but it's not spelled like that.
Okay, then. I'm sorry. Yeah.
B-A-N-H-M-I. A little weird, a little unconventional, and a little spicy to many American tastes. Nobody took this peasant sandwich seriously when it first came on the scene. Now it seems you can't go anywhere without your insufferable hipster friends telling you why you just have to check it out.
Spell it again.
B-A-N-H-M-I. I would pronounce it bon mi. And that's the Bernie Sanders sandwich. Moving right along. Well, Al Googles.
Uh-huh.
Not a metaphor.
Secretary Hillary Clinton is the Subway sandwich. This sandwich will change however it must to suit your interests. You want meatballs? It'll give you meatballs. You want teriyaki chicken? You got it. Don't like eating yoga mats? Gosh, sorry about that. Bread recipe? Changed. It may not be the best sandwich you've had, but hey, it's everywhere, and no matter what, you know you're going to get stuck ordering this one.
Ah. Also, does it measure up? Because, you know, for a while, their 6 inches weren't 6 inches, their 12s weren't 12s. Does she measure up?
Oh, we've all been in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Trust.
Just lay them on a table. May I see your ruler, sir?
What are you? Did you
your
mean,
tape measure.
Did you mean millimeter?
Yeah, exactly. I feel we've gone metric.
It's a lovely 75 degrees Celsius, or 40 degrees Celsius.
It's a Vietnamese term for all kinds of bread.
Oh.
Derived from the term bon and mi, which is wheat. Bread, or more specifically, the baguette, was introduced by the French. It's a fucking baguette that somebody has to make goddamn...
It's a spicy sandwich.
Wow, sandwich.
It's called a Vietnamese po' boy, or a Vietnamese hoagie.
And it looks like one in the picture.
Yeah.
It really just kind of looks like a cheesesteak with too much, like, green on it.
Yeah.
No.
Looking at the same
picture.
That's where I'm at. So there you go. Mystery solved.
Solved.
Thank you.
It's
investigative reporting here at Q Talk America.
So that's how I feel about Bernie Sanders. If it's what's left, I'm going
to
eat it.
Right. And that seems to be how they feel about that sandwich, too.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the candidates that we've never heard of before tonight. Lincoln Chaffee, foodandwine.com, has determined that he's the wrap. After a change in diet, this one switched from bread to whole wheat tortilla years ago and never looked back.
Because he used to be Republican, right? He's
right.
The one that can't talk about it.
Used to be, yeah. Of course, it's worth mentioning that no one really considers a wrap a viable sandwich.
Mm-mm.
But good. I enjoy it.
It's a cold burrito.
I enjoy a wrap.
Lincoln
and I do.
Chaffee.
I'll eat them.
Jim Webb, and this is even more hilarious after listening to him in the debate, you know, whine and whine and whine about more time. He would be the egg salad sandwich. A good, solid, protein-rich sandwich served on good, solid white bread. Please, no pepper or mustard or even lettuce. That mayo is about as zesty as you can expect.
And the gas afterwards can clear a fucking... You know when you're in the presence of an egg salad sandwich fart. Because that thing will burn a house down.
Oh my.
That's a boner killer if ever there was one.
Boy... Howdy.
Although, boy, howdy.
I haven't had a good egg salad sandwich in a long time.
And please have them 2 days prior to the show.
So that there's no chance
I don't want you to laugh and fart and have that all happen. Because we've all been there. We're a little toot escaped. Yeah.
22 months later, the forensic people would find your shorts and DNA would get you right back there.
It's a lady man who recently had an egg salad sandwich.
My condolences to your pants.
Oh,
and anybody
pants.
Around you.
No, we found the pants. Poor we buried pants. Them.
What was left?
After a beautiful ceremony, children sang.
The zombie apocalypse of your pants.
All right, I'm going to run through these so we can be done. Martin O'Malley.
There's only five candidates.
I know. I'm already tired. I'm already tired of this story. Is the problem.
Already.
Well, I'm going to hear what the last sandwich is.
Well, I know. There's two more. I got Martin O'Malley and I got Uncle Joe. So Martin O'Malley is the soft-shell crab, a Baltimore staple. This sandwich isn't as widely known as the others. And without a hard shell, the crab doesn't pose much of a challenge.
It's true.
And then Uncle Joe, the Joe Biden, is likened to the ramen burger. This sandwich is actually pretty fun and hip, but it's also seen as kind of a joke. We ordered this once, but only in addition to an actual ramen. Oh.
What's a ramen? I got to Google ramen burger.
Well, are you familiar with like the square of ramen?
Like ramen noodles?
Yeah, yeah, but I hope it doesn't have anything to do
the
with
taste
that.
Of,
so now they sandwich a burger in between some ramen, like mildly cooked ramen patty.
The taste of powdered chicken and poverty.
That is what poverty tastes like.
Ramen.
Yeah,
I can honestly tell you in my life I've never been poor enough to go down the ramen aisle.
Oh my god!
Oh, you've been down the aisle. You just didn't realize it
right,
was there.
I didn't peruse.
It's in the pasta section.
That's probably a horrible thing to say, and we probably lost some listeners. But honestly, like
that's all right. I'll get them back because there's an entire
even my fast food job back in the 80s kept me away from ramen because I could eat the fast food.
Oh right, right.
Well, sure.
Not better for you. Just
oh, that is awful. Oh, so they're okay. Wait. Now in the picture that I'm looking at, they're using the ramen as the bun,
right?
To get more sodium in their diet and less carbs.
Clearly.
Okay, now I might be back on board on that, because I was thinking you put two pieces of bread around a
ramen
piece of
noodles.
Ramen and wanted me to eat that shit.
Hard.
No. Salt and bread, okay.
Ramen, burger, and more ramen. Yum.
I made ramen tacos. Nope. Can't eat
still
that.
Still not on board.
Ramen tacos.
I can't accept
that
those
feels
two words
really
together.
Weird to me.
Can't accept that. Ramen tacos. I'm going to Google that shit, too.
Donald Trump is the open-faced ham sandwich. There's no bread covering up what's inside this sandwich, which can be a refreshing option to have on the menu. While some people think it comes with a little too much ham for their taste, a surprising number of folks would still consider ordering
too
this one.
Too much ham.
Too much ham. Anybody else you want to hear? Oh, Jeb. Jeb!
Jeb!
Jeb is the leftover sandwich. It's practical and filling, but at the end, it's made up of ingredients from meals we've already had.
Oh,
that's funny. The Scott Walker is the grilled cheese sandwich.
Hmm.
Popular plain folks fare featuring Wisconsin's pride front and center.
I love what plain folks fare, would you call it?
Plain folks fare.
Plain folk. We're plain folk.
Oh. I did. Plain, you know what I mean? Folk. Goodness.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking. I'm
it's
good.
Entertaining.
No, I'm enjoying you. But now I moved on to the ramen taco on Instagram.
Wow, he's stuck on that now.
No,
stuck
I have to vote no on this.
They're using ramen as a bread
as
product.
A shell. Yeah,
I feel like no.
Embrace your bread, people.
And I've actually been poor enough to eat ramen, and I'm going with no. Don't add it to things. Like, don't be proud. If you're just eating ramen to stay alive, then just do that.
Yeah, but don't embrace. It's like spam. But, next
right.
you're going to next you're going to send me your fun recipes for spam.
Unless you grew up on Guam, there's no reason.
Or Hawaii,
right. I knew a girl that grew up on Guam, so she was always trying to force spam down everybody's throat. And we're all like, no, we have real meat here.
We have animals we can kill right nearby.
There's actual bacon in the fridge. Like, cook that.
I don't avoid bacon because of religion. I avoid religion
because of bacon. Agreed.
Smart.
On board.
I mean, that's a pretty picture, Aaron, and I get it. Geek filter. I love it's called geek filter, but no.
Yeah.
I can't get on board. Harrison, do not take me to a ramen restaurant when I go to L.A. Because every time I go to L.A., we try something new.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good about taking me to like, the place that makes bacon into everything.
Yes.
But I feel like one day I'm going to end up at the ramen taco
what
shop.
What if she slips bacon ramen into you?
All right, now you've said bacon, so we're back on board.
You know, and I am all about some squiggly noodles. Like, you can absolutely dress it up, but don't go down to Safeway and pick up the 17-cent brick of ramen and then go home and try and dress it up. Like, just admit you're poor.
You know, if you save a lot of those packets of hot sauce from Taco Bell.
Yeah. Now, you can make a soup out of it. Yeah.
It can be spicy poverty.
Now, I want to say, for Aaron, now, from what I understand from my talking about spam with the locals in Hawaii, that a real Hawaiian pizza is pineapple and spam.
And spam.
Instead of the Canadian bacon, which is not real bacon.
No, because that because it is the meat of their people, like it is what they eat, that is what they put on it.
Sure.
They just wanted toppings that they had available. So if I'm not mistaken, spam is actually the right way to do a Hawaiian pizza.
I'm all about like whatever you got to do based on necessity. Like if spam is the only meat you got, then
maybe some night we'll have we'll have a spamtacular show.
No, but
would that be a boner killer?
That'd be a boner killer. My dad it was called potted meat or like or like canned meat or some shit, and you had to use the twister thing to get it off, and it smelled like the cow walked 20 miles to die through a hot day. And you would spread it on bread with like, and then you'd put Miracle Whip on top of it and put it in his lunch bag. And I could not breathe in through that entire, when I would make his lunch, because we had to take turns either polishing my mom's work shoes or making, like, you had a job to do. We worked. We were workers. We were raised in my parents' house, but we were the indentured servants. Like,
okay.
We had to clean.
As children should be.
Yeah. But we had a job to do. You had to get them ready for work.
I got a show to do.
Yeah, I got a show to do, bitch. I got to put potted meat on white bread and try to sell it with a Barbra Streisand song. It was so vile. And he loved it. He would be excited for whatever day was potted meat day. And I was like, children of the Depression. That's a fucked upness. They all should have been in
potted
therapy.
Potted meat day.
But he was very excited for whatever day that was, that that was a sandwich. And somehow that always fell on me. I think my sister just couldn't. I think they would have.
She planned that.
It was just awful. Would have actually vomited.
Let's make
and it was the only time I ever thought anything bad about Miracle Whip, because that is God's chosen food. That's just tart and tangy and delicious. It's not mayonnaise. Don't get me wrong.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's its own special brand of like deliciousness. And I could eat it with a spoon in front of a TV and be happy with it. Maybe a Triscuit every once in a while for something
fantastic
to crunch on. Fantastic.
And super
so as
gross.
I get all judgy about your different meats and ramen,
yeah,
I would sit down to a bowl of
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip and Triscuit.
The tangy, zesty taste of Miracle Whip.
Because when you bite into it, you're like, tangy and zesty. Jeb!
Jeb! Whip! Whip!
Speaking of judgy.
Oh. Okay.
Facebook this week, briefly and inexplicably,
mm-hmm,
bans the phrase, everyone will know. I know.
But will they?
It's the weirdest thing.
I don't know either.
And I've been actually kind of following this a little bit this week, because the first time it popped up, I was like, what? That's so weird. And then I followed to find an explanation. There's been no explanation. But earlier this week, Facebook blocked the phrase, everyone will know, for more than a day. But users are now once again able to post the seemingly innocuous three words. Facebook is saying that it was a mistake with their spam filter and the engineers have resolved the issue, but conspiracy theorists are on the case. They don't know why, they don't know what it is, but they've asked Mulder and Scully to be just on high alert.
Did the Republicans put a special committee together?
They may.
They should.
They may.
They should.
But it's an actual thing. Like, multiple internet users and Facebook users.
Both of them.
Have... Yeah, all the above.
Kidding.
So we have country and western, both kinds.
Country and western.
Great music choices.
I know, good movie too. But yeah, no, there's a ton of screenshots and a ton of reasonably reputable internet sources that have tried to post just the phrase "everyone will know" on their Facebook, and then it was even blocked from Messenger, and nobody knows.
I heard nothing about that.
Yeah, I know. Failed to post.
Everyone will not know.
Said action blocked all over the place. Our security systems have detected that a lot of people are posting the same content, which could mean that it's spam. Please try a different post. But it's such a
more
strange,
spam.
Such a I know, right?
Oh, that's the
different
that may be
spam. Different spam. But yeah, the internet has been all abuzz over what the fuck? What does that mean? What are they not telling us? What's going on?
Yeah, what do we need to know?
I know. I like the cuckoo corner of the internet
I'm
over here
sure.
That's going,
the conspiracy.
What is happening?
Yes.
It piqued my interest for a moment, and now I'm gone.
This just came out late this afternoon.
This just in.
I don't know if anybody else heard about this. All right, wait. Am I stepping
no,
on?
No, go.
Did you all hear about Playboy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that was the last one.
I just
saw
the headline.
Oh, is that your next story?
I mean, it can be, but go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I don't want to, by all means.
Well, my goodness, your article might be better than mine.
Well, I'll start mine, and you can follow up with others.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, you go ahead.
Starting with the March 2016 issue, the iconic men's magazine, or lady, depending on how you are, which has been publishing photos of nude women since 1953 with all of their private parts, will all of a sudden be private part free. The political and sexual climate of 1953, the year Hugh Hefner introduced Playboy to the world, bears almost no resemblance to today's Playboy Enterprises CEO, Scott Flanders, said in a statement to Fox 411.
I know, I'm like...
apparently, they are going to find out for real if they really do read Playboy for the articles. Mm-hmm. So, no more nudie pictures of the women... it's going to have a top-to-bottom redesign by the company's chief content officer, Corey Jones, following the magazine's website with a similar makeover to make it a safe-for-work format, according to what they are saying. But no naked pictures of women in the magazine. So that'll be interesting to see what they're...
Now, let's hope Playgirl doesn't get this memo.
Right. I mean, Playboy has to do something because their circulation has dropped dramatically. Their circulation was 5.6 million in 1975.
To go with a pun, because the circulation of their main target audience has also diminished too. If you know what I'm saying.
They don't need help getting a boner anymore. Yeah. You just take the pill. I didn't mean to spell that out so graphically, but maybe. Oh my god!
Sometimes you have to lead a horse to water.
Well, and I think I'm sure, like a lot of print media, like the internet is killing them.
Yeah, and they have to compete with internet porn, as Amina says, and I think that's
true.
I
can get a whole lot of porn.
It's so airbrushed. It's so
well, like, and it's not as shocking as it was.
It's almost a cartoon. Yeah. Oh, it's never. It has been shocking and to me.
When I was 10, it was stunning.
Right, and you grew up in Mormon land too.
And like, I found them under my father's bed, and I took them to school.
Atta girl.
It's a true story.
Atta girl.
Tim, I think Tim's family, in a desperate attempt to make him heterosexual, they had Playboys around and they had him like kind of like on the coffee table, as I remember. They may have been hidden, but to me they were pretty easy to find. So to me they were openly displayed. I may have been hunting through someone's drawers to find them. But
oh, not their actual drawers. Like right, there am I.
So, not their poopy pants.
Oh no.
But in the story that my mom told for years afterwards, I had read, because the Playboys to me were just at Tim's house, and Tim's sister worked at the Playboy Mansion. She was a Playboy bunny like Debbie Harry was, not posing, but the waitresses in the bunny costumes. So Tim's sister worked at the Playboy Mansion here when there was one in Phoenix, and she was a bunny, and so it was Playboy was kind of a big thing in their house.
Sure.
But the Dorothy Stratton story, she was the Playboy, I think she was the centerfold of the year, what's that called? Playmate of the year. Mm-hmm. 1 year, and she was shot by her boyfriend. It was made into a movie called Star 80 by Bob Fosse with Mariel Hemingway, and just became a famous story. Well, I read the story, and it was a true crime story, so of course I was into it because it had a serial killer and a stalker and all the things I love about life. And I read the whole article one day at the pool, at Tim's pool, like floating in his pool on a raft, and read the whole story and went home to my mom because I just thought this was a great article. Like, as I was trying to present it to her as reading, she was like, oh my God, Al Strait, he's asking for Playboy at the tender age of 12. But she was like, no, we're not going to allow Playboy in the house. That's
like
a little.
Maybe no.
That went against her mildly feminist issues. And I honestly, it wasn't until like later that she finally asked me, she's like, did you really read an article in Playboy that made you want, like, because when I came out, she was like, what about the Playboy thing? Like, you were adamant about getting Playboy. I'm like, it was the article about Dorothy Stratton. Like, it was such a well-written piece. And I just thought it was such it was just a great article. And I thought, this is what Playboy's about. It's investigative journalism about dead naked. You know what I mean? Like, and but she, because she kept going back to that. It gave her that glimmer of hope that I did ask for a Playboy subscription. And when she found out that I really did read the article,
that's funny.
I never looked at one naked picture. So I was like, add article. Not realizing nude, centerfold, article.
Right. Things I don't care about for 1,000, Mom.
Didn't even know how to read Playboy correctly because I actually read it.
Yeah, right.
Good work. See, I, on the other hand, at the tender age, I think I must have been about 10. Like, seriously, found a stash of Playboys in my dad's
house. Talk loud, I'm using that.
And, just opted to share them with my friends on the playground. I took a stack of I took a stack of Playboys to the elementary school. And seriously, like, I know you can possibly believe this, but at that young age, like, all my friends were boys. Like, we were just
shocker.
Like rough and tumble playing football or whatever the sport of the week was. And got a little bit busted. when whoever was watching the kids at recess at the time or whatever was like, hey, why are all those kids like,
what are they doing over there?
What are they doing over there all in a group and like huddled together? And that looks very suspicious. And yeah, it turned out big stack of my dad's Playboy magazines.
Wow. Yeah. Now, how did you, do you remember how you transported them from point A to point B? Was there like
a backpack?
You just slipped them into the backpack?
Just put them in my bag.
All right, gotcha. All right.
Yeah, nothing very sneaky.
Okay.
In fact, I think at the time, I'm pretty sure I like remember keeping them in an old briefcase that my father no longer used.
Mm.
And so I may have decided to convert that to be my school bag for the week because, let me tell you, like there reaches a point where you're just like, I don't care what you're carrying. Do you have all your shit with you? Like,
right.
Do you have
right.
your homework? I don't care what you carry it in. Like, you can carry it in a grocery bag for
leave,
all I
you
care.
You can leave that open. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter.
So, yeah, I may or may not have been using like an old school like hard case briefcase right. as a school bag.
Okay.
Yeah, I kept him in there and carted him to the playground and then got all kinds of busted and there was like an awkward conversation at home and then it was never spoken of again.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do wow. to do with what's like taboo or what's considered
sure.
like exotic. Like mm-hmm. I never thought naked people were all that like with five people in one bathroom, like one shower, like in a really tight hallway. Like, our hallway was about as big as your hallway right there, but add one more bedroom
mm-hmm.
with one bathroom in the same place. Like, you saw some people naked. It was kind of hard to get around.
Yeah.
We all went to school at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
You saw some stuff. And, like, there was just nothing all that... And I come from a very well-endowed family, bust-wise.
Did Grandma Perkins myself. Ever visit? Because you're like, ooh, don't even see that.
Yeah. No, but I saw a dressing change after a mastectomy. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we did. There was nothing like that you shouldn't see or nothing you shouldn't drink. Like, everything was just kind of like, yeah, we're doing it. Like, there was just nothing like all that off limits or taboo when I grew up. Like,
yeah.
So everybody had a pretty, like, okay relationship with everything. Like, everybody, like, nothing was like, ooh, it's exciting to swear. Like, that one's cursed like a sailor. We haven't even had the first glass of shitty wine yet. So,
it's a shitty wine.
And we had, and somebody brings up National Geographic, which I had to get back to. National Geographic, we got every week. And mm-hmm. so you got your fair share of like anything you wanted to see in National Geographic. I mean, it was kind of light porn, but those people looked real. I always thought that was a little more exciting because they didn't look painted. Like, it didn't okay. look so fake.
Sure.
The people in the National Geographic looked like real because they were like, you know, carrying water to their husband. Like, you know what I mean? Or, like, it was a much more real depiction of nudity, and it was a little bit more, to me, it was a little bit more sensual. They were kind of hot. They were kind of, they were outdoorsy. Like, I don't know. I found those pictures a little bit more erotic than I ever did. Like, they were just so fake looking in Playboy. And I wasn't into women. But
sure.
I did have a moment or two looking at the National Geographic.
Good to know. Maybe that's your appreciation of the
kind of some men's asses
darker,
too. Because I mean, it's not like they went around following just women. There was, you know, it was the whole
tribe.
Though everybody was in the magazine
or whatever country.
Yeah, whatever they call them. You know, however they self-identify.
I'm pretty
I don't
sure everyone remembers the exact same issue of National Geographic because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we're all picturing the same picture anyway.
I'm actually not. I honestly, God, I'm not.
So you don't know.
No,
you don't know.
What? Yeah, and maybe it was because there was men and women in it that the National Geographic was always a little bit sexier to me.
Oh, maybe.
But when when you make something taboo, you're just inviting someone to go and try it because it sounds so exciting when you've forbidden it. But sure. if it's like,
oh, why can't I do that? I'm going to do that.
You know, try a rum and Coke. You'll throw it up later. You'll never go back to rum again. Rum's safe.
Right.
Well, it's the reverse psychology of kids. Don't you dare clean your room.
Yeah.
And they'll go clean it.
No, but it really does work. If you make something forbidden, then you have to find out why it's forbidden. You wonder,
why is this in the crawl space under the water bed?
I must find out what it's about. Why can't I get an Uncle Charlie's van? Let's go find out.
Why shouldn't I eat his candy? I don't know.
Exactly. It looks delicious.
Speaking of candy.
Nice segue.
Anheuser-Busch and SAB Miller said Tuesday that they have agreed in principle on sweetened terms of an all-cash takeover offer that could dramatically alter the global beer market.
Were we worried about the beer market?
I was not. I tell you.
You know what? I sort of am, because if Anheuser-Busch and Miller...
That's all the beer in the world, then you're just done.
It's 30% of the world's beer market. That's true. 30% of the world's beer market is going to be shitty, shitty.
You always come
beer.
With facts. I'm not laughing at you.
I like facts. Why are you laughing at?
I was laughing at the old joke.
You sound like Bill O'Reilly. As long as it's fact based, that's all I ask.
I've never asked for facts on this show. Not in 4 years.
I love it when he's listening to absolute bullshit. It's all I ask is for facts.
Really?
Oh, have you ever? You got to watch Bill O'Reilly. It's just so much fun.
Oh, no, I can't. No, I can't.
Scholastic sells his book. Saw it in the warehouse today.
I can't wait to print Killing O'Reilly. Go ahead.
And not Radar O'Reilly. Different Riley.
Different.
Yeah.
Different. Once the merger is finished, and it looks like it will, they're just kind of squabbling over what SAB Miller is worth. Looks like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the world's top 10 beers will be under one corporate umbrella.
That's not good, though.
That's all. I know. That's not good for. That's not good for anything. That's not good for innovation. That's not good for pricing. That's not good for labor.
And clearly, we're going through that with the airlines.
Yeah, right. So they're going to charge you carry-on things for those beers now.
Son of a bitch.
You'll have carry-on fees.
Son of a bitch.
Yes.
It's terrible. So look for your Bud Light to get crappier, is what's going to happen.
Oh.
I know. Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, can you imagine?
Right. When finalized, it would bring Budweiser, Stella, Corona, Miller Lite, Peroni, and other popular brands under common ownership.
Who makes that Michelob Ultra shit?
Michelob.
Michelob would be my guess.
And that's a whole other country?
Yes.
I mean, a whole other country. Yeah, yeah. Miller?
Michelob doesn't fall under either of these.
Okay, because that shit, we got to stop that.
Michelob Ultra.
I'm sure we're not going to.
I feel like no.
I just want to walk up to... That's exactly what I'm saying. I want to walk up as hard as I can to a gay man drinking Michelob Ultra and just...
There's an entire commercial about that. No, what... I can't remember what other light beer was doing that.
I don't encourage violence unless you're talking to somebody who's drinking
Michelob
Ultra.
There's an entire marketing campaign. I'll have to send it to you.
Just drink real alcohol and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just drink your vodka and calm down. If you're worried about the calories... Vodka.
Well, I was insulted as a people. Let's just talk about that. As a people, when Michelob Ultra came out and they were appealing to the anorexics and all gay men.
Yeah.
It's less calories. It's like they already make a light beer that tastes water. How much worse does our world have to
filling,
get?
Same thing.
Right. But now we got to Ultra because it's got less carbs. Like that is brilliant marketing. And the gays, just dumb ass fucking Republican sheep, walk towards it like zombies towards a loud noise. Spoiler alert. just upsetting the way
zombies
that went down.
Zombies walk towards loud noises?
I worked at a gay bar. Yes. As I worked in a gay bar and I watched that shit roll down. And I tasted that when it first rolled out. And I'm like, you're not going to sell that to anybody. They're like, oh, we're selling it as
not
a low-carb beer.
No.
And I'm like, oh, that's going to fucking work. And sure enough, people were like, ask for it by name. And I'm like... Are you like
Son
it tastes
bitch.
Like you're gonna drink something shitty?
Yeah.
Just because someone told you you'll be skinny afterwards, because you ain't skinny.
That's how I feel.
Although I have one friend.
How much beer do you have to drink to get skinny?
I have one friend that drinks it and is skinny. One.
Yeah, but did he start there?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Started skinny, right.
Probably.
So Karen Carpenter would love that beer if she were alive.
She'd be all over it. Yes.
That's only just begun.
Lady Boner Up.
To drink. Ultra.
Speaking of lady boners.
Oh.
The Martian, a new movie by Ridley Scott starring Matt Damon as an astronaut stranded on Mars, is being rightly praised for its fairly accurate portrayal of science.
Mm.
But
you're gonna science the shit out of this.
Science the fuck out of it.
Mm.
But maybe it was too realistic because an alarming number of people out there have come away from the film thinking it is based on a true story.
Did you read my Facebook post last week?
No, I missed it.
That the when you go see it, I saw The Walk, which I loved, and The Martian, which I loved. At the same time, The Martian seems more believable.
Yeah, you said
than
so
the
on the
walk.
Show. That's right.
Like it.
That's
seemed,
why I didn't recall because I wasn't listening.
I,
you were
as I posted
ever,
but it seems completely believable. Yeah.
Some people in your family might think The Martian is a true story. Twitter users may have posted things like, "Genuinely bothered that my mom thought The Martian was a true story." Or Richie here, who says, "As great as The Martian was, my favorite part was after, when my grandma asked, 'Is that real?'" Some of your friends may think The Martian is a true story. Like Simona posted, "So my friend and I were talking about The Martian, and she was like, 'It's based on a true story, right?'" Yeah.
But what they don't believe the walk.
Right.
The reason that the walk is flopping is because people hear true story about the Twin Towers and they think they're going to see them fall.
Ugh.
And then they see him laying up there and they're like, well, that's just fake. Because they can't believe someone actually did it.
Yeah.
But the science in there is so... The science, The Martian... I mean, they're both wonderful movies. Mm-hmm. Go see both of them. But the Martian is just... It's so smart and it sticks to the point, and there's a really fun part with the Donna Summer song, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah. But kind listeners... Listeners of the future.
Yes.
At this point...
We have not been to Mars. Well,
on October 13th,
the year of our Lord, 2015, we have not had a manned mission to Mars.
Is not based on a true story, and Matt Damon is probably still living... Where does he live? Beverly Hills, probably.
Probably. He's a good guy.
Nobody cares.
He's a lovely, lovely human. Oh, on that topic. God.
The Martian. True story.
Damn it. Yeah, Grandma. I lost it.
Oh.
I lost it. It was all good things.
Our apologies to Matt Damon. We ran out of time.
Oh, and movie-wise, The Suffragette opens in the next couple of weeks. Women's suffrage, Carrie Mulligan and Meryl Streep getting a lot of shit for her t-shirt that says, I'd rather be something than a slave.
Yes.
I'd rather be a slave than something else. Mm-hmm. All kinds of trouble for white women wearing this t-shirt.
I saw that last week.
That was a quote from a suffragette. Back in the day, suffragette.
Jeb.
Yeah, Jeb.
The t-shirt says...
Oh, that's what I was going to say. All right.
Yes. I knew you'd come back.
Oh, eventually.
Clinton today.
Mm-hmm.
No, Hillary?
Hillary.
Okay.
No surprise. I was for Hillary over Obama in 08. I'm for Hillary over anybody in 16.
I'd rather be a rebel than a slave.
Rebel than a slave. And it comes off wrong because of the connotation of rebel in America. This is a story that takes place in Britain. They mean rebelling, not mm-hmm. a rebel like the rebel soldier than a slave.
But so sister suffragette like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yeah. So the connotation is a little off. It doesn't read right.
It's a little racist in America sounding right.
Yeah, it does sound racist in America. But Hillary Clinton, when she opened up her opening argument
statement
today in the debate was... What I wanted to hear after you see The Martian and you realize, like, we have no dreams anymore as a nation.
Ugh.
Like, we believe in that.
Yeah,
believe,
there's no space.
We believe the Flintstones was a documentary and there's, like, there's no more, like, impossible dream. Cue up the impossible dream for me. Let's finish with that one tonight.
Oh, good.
But she said she wants to invest in science. You know what I mean?
Yay! Science!
And it was just nice to hear as everyone else is talking about something. We also have to think about, yes, we have to, like, wage equality, you know, women's rights, all that stuff is all good and we're all on the same page.
Wonderful.
But we need the big Kennedy dream back. Like, we have to stop fighting over whether or not the oceans are rising. They're rising because you're standing in water.
Right.
Deal's over. Throw a snowball in
Congress.
Ankles
are wet.
But it's time to start dreaming about the future. And she said, let's use climate change as... A challenge to build jobs in the future to how to fix climate change. Let's invest in science. Let's get back to that. Stop arguing whether they put all those fucking animals on the boat because they didn't. And let's invest our money in science and technology. And when you see The Martian, it makes you sad because we don't live in that country anymore. We don't live in that world anymore. Maybe China's still doing it. Maybe Russia when they're not fucking up and accidentally bombing Iran.
Oops.
Maybe they're thinking about it, but we need to invest in, let's find out about, not just, I mean, we have to find the bottom of the ocean, too. There's stuff on our planet we still have to discover, but let's dream big again. Like, why aren't we dreaming big? And The Martian makes, I just had this longing for that time of, like, a space race and, like, people racing to be smarter, not racing to be more stupid.
There is a thing, and we all know what it feels like to either, like, have that common goal or that common enemy be what it, you know... Whichever way it is, you know what I mean? And different generations feel it from different places, you know what I mean? People that were alive during the moon landing, like, they totally remember that. Like, they were a country that was rooting for the space missions, you know, the various space missions during that time. Like, there was, you know, watching the guys orbit the Earth and then orbit the moon and then land on the moon. And there was, like, people were riveted to their television. And there was, like, a common goal and there was a common pride.
Right.
In this project. And that's missing. And then with September 11th, there was also a common feeling of loss and then a common enemy until we realized that it was the wrong enemy and then it all went to shit. But there was that time when everybody felt like we're all living in the same place, and we don't have that right now.
Right. And I agree. And I always say we should discover another planet so that we can all come together species, as humans to hate, because then we can all hate them.
Oh my God,
them.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, we are the worlds.
War of the Worlds.
Oh, I said, but I like We Are the World.
I noticed that.
We are the world. And I get what you're saying about it's not accurate science, but like the fact of like how can you in a place, how can you create water? Like what elements do you need to make water? We don't have to.
It's there now.
What makes organic chemistry, like that kind of stuff is the real thing. Not the thing about like what he would weigh there and how he would jump around or how he would move. But like, what is water made of? How do you grow a plant? What is organic thing? You need shit. Like,
right. Like, what do you need?
You need to take human waste that stinks and plant a potato and get it to do. You need bacteria. You need all that stuff.
Things,
that's what I mean about accurate science. Not so much like, you know, he would float away or he would do this or that. It's just it's the practical things that we can bring back to us here is. Like he says, I'm the best agriculturist or whatever he says. Like, I'm the best botanist on this planet.
Because he's the only botanist.
Yeah.
That's always a funny joke.
But I forget to include India in these equations, that India is also in this race, too, for technology. And they're hopefully not arguing about if they got all those fucking people in the back. That Noah's Ark thing, it's really stuck in my head. It's been for years now. Like, I can't get past it. When they made that Noah's Ark movie, it just was like, really? You buy that shit? Like, that's the story you're going to cling to?
The Steve Carell one was really funny, though.
Oh, but that's...
That I read something this week that something, it was something about political, this, that, and the other thing, and it was like, these are people who believe that a couple of penguins walked from the Antarctica to get to the Ark.
Yeah.
What? These people really believe
how the
that
kangaroos
shit.
Get there.
No, I'm on board with you.
I mean, just pick your indigenous.
Right,
because you also can't use the word indigenous to people that believe in the Ark because.
Right, nothing and you was can't indigenous, get,
and then you can't
God
convince them that you know the cradle of life is Mesopotamia and you know northern Africa. Like you can't convince them that all life started in the warm, fertile regions of the Earth.
No,
it didn't start in England on the barren island where nothing grows. Like, come on, people. Wow. Do I have to have a bowel movement? Cause
no, but I figured we needed a dead guy and a good song.
Because you just did. It's beautiful.
Oh, the impossible dream.
That's you requested.
I did. Oh. I just didn't think you'd play it from the beginning.
Well, it just came up on the YouTubes.
Now play She Blinded Me with Science.
She blinded me with science. Good heavens, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
Now play My Heart Will Go On.
So many things to play.
Now play.
I don't know how long we go into the song for.
Well, first part,
I'm not really sure. I think I'm out
the
of
dramatic
segues.
Finish.
Well, I wonder where it is.
Oh no!
Apparently, we've taken a wrong turn.
Oh, you're gonna say no to Luther Vandross?
Always.
Why?
He remakes songs terribly because he always. I feel like he's singing in the wrong language.
You're a communist.
I am. Luther. All you have to refer to is Luther Vandross and Mariah Carey singing Endless Love.
I don't refer to Mariah Carey at all.
That he does all those
Mariah
remakes
Carey,
on is the worst album ever recorded.
She's dead to me. Mariah Carey's dead to me.
Because she did Endless Love and it was terrible.
She also did Take a Look at Me Now.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, you're going to get on board for that.
I said it wasn't that bad.
The original is all we need on that one.
Which, yeah, it is.
Which version of this fucking song do
Richard,
you want?
Richard Kiel, Man
don't
of La Mancha.
I know where to go at this point.
Oh, Christ.
Did we miss any current events that
we
should
have talked
about?
Oh, I'm sure we did, because we're fighting over this song now.
I feel like, well, that's not news.google.com.
Oh, it's a whole goddamn scene. Where does he sing the song?
Destiny calls and we go.
Oh, that's Man of La Mancha. Never mind. There's Jim Nabors doing it. We could play him.
Apparently, Clinton and Sanders dominated the Democrats' first debate.
Shocking.
Who did?
Clinton and Sanders. Colonel Sanders. KFC. What do you want?
Okay.
The Cubs won.
For those musical theater fans. And I like Luther Vandross's own songs. It's just when he tries to remake other people's songs, all of a sudden he's not singing in the right language and he does Aretha Franklin's. What in the hell is going on? Like you just. It's like he doesn't understand the assignment. But The Impossible Dream, beautiful song.
What in the hell is going on?
I wasn't that far off.
No, you're really.
But in this, for those of us that are children of the 70s, the Impossible Dream kind of became about spaghetti sauce. Like, the song became such a standard. And remember Maria Alberghetti used to sing it about spaghetti sauce?
No.
It was a commercial. And
oh.
So you would always hear the Impossible Dream. And then when you see it in the show and he's talking about, you know, when your arms are too fight, when your arms are too weary, the unbeatable foe, the unwinnable war.
Ragu.
And he goes, and I get goosebumps just thinking about it, and he sings the impossible dream, to dream it, like just to try.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're probably going to fail, and it, like it just builds this beautiful climax, and it really is the impossible dream.
It's fantastic.
This is my quest to follow that star.
No idea.
Even Donna Summer fucks it up.
That's not Donna Summer.
No.
I feel like...
But she had it as different. Before Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, it was Donna Summer's like concert ballad. She would sing it a lot.
So I Googled Impossible Dream Spaghetti and got nothing.
Oh, okay. Don't you remember that from the 70s? All the spaghetti commercials about as they would pour the sauce and it would be the impossible dream that you could get spaghetti out of a jar that was as good as the Italian women made it? Anyways,
negative.
I do.
Speaking...
I love it. A chicken in every bucket. Colonel Bernie Sanders mantra. And I don't think Biden's going to dive in. I honestly don't at this point. I think that's...
I don't think so either.
No.
No. But speaking of music and remakes...
I like this. You're segueing the fuck out of this.
I had a stretch for that one.
Give me
I'm going to end my segment here because I just kind of browsed past some Google News and found this. And it reminded me that my new favorite obsession is a young man named Todrick Hall. He's been around for a while. He's a YouTube contributor who recently got a gig and an MTV show.
Okay.
He is... nerdy show tune folks like myself might have seen the Cell Block Tango remake with all the Disney characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Might have seen All That Jazz remade as All That As with two Z's, because clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of twerking and not mad at it. Men and women, check it out.
Okay.
He joined up with Pentatonix for quite a few wonderful projects. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is... A Wizard of Oz kind of a parody where they take a lot of pop music and kind of like insert them where they would go in a little like 3-minute synopsis of The Wizard of Oz, which is fantastic, especially with Pentatonix. And apparently has now just done a little bit of a Hocus Pocus spoof, which yeah. I'm super excited about. So yeah, I'm going to end my segment there and say if you haven't seen it, I can't attest to the MTV show, but I know like the YouTube channel and some of the really creative stuff that he does, not his weekly like I want to talk about dumb stuff because I'm a teenager. Part of his
kind of like we want to talk YouTube. About dumb stuff because we're middle aged,
right?
Version of
right. I certainly don't get you know a lot of the video blogging, which is odd because we sit here and do this for 3 hours.
Do it every yes.
I'm very supportive of it, but I don't always have the patience to sit and watch it. As you've sat here for 3 hours and listened to us talk,
yeah.
But I certainly encourage you to go find and explore Todrick Hall on YouTube because he's very creative and very fun. And he's done like the four shot where he harmonizes with himself and covers a lot of popular music. He's definitely a Disney kid. Like you can see a lot of Disney influence in a lot of his work. Mm-hmm. He did a Taylor Swift montage. He did a Gaga like compilation. He did Rihanna.
And he's really a cutie.
He's super cute. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He apparently.
I wanted to make sure it was this. I googled to make sure it was the same person that I've been watching in different. Yeah. Way. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Because he's making the rounds.
Apparently, yeah. The Hocus Pocus parody is called Hocus Brocus. That's yeah. What he titled it.
Oh, he did the
bros because it's him. It's a bro doing three different. That's how I took it.
Oh, I thought there. Were
I haven't watched it yet. I literally just saw it. It might be Broke Ass Girls because he's the Beauty and the Beast parody about the girl in the ghetto.
That's the one that I've seen.
Yeah. 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 That's also Todrick Hall.
Yeah. That's how I heard of him.
What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good?
There's that.
I do love it.
I could probably do the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my...
See, Don remembers that commercial from the 70s about segment. The spaghetti sauce.
Okay.
But remember Maria Alberghetti? Do you remember her?
No.
She was a spokesperson. She's a big Broadway star, but... She became famous as a TV spokesperson. Hi, I'm Maria Alberghetti.
Maria Alberghetti. Oh, there she is, Alberghetti. Let me see if I can recognize her. I got nothing for you here.
She was commercials for the dumbest shit for a while.
Well, I don't recognize her at all. I'm scrolling through many eras of pictures of her, and I got nothing for you.
Oh, okay.
Italian opera singer and actress? I don't know.
Speaking, segue, but not as good as the one you did earlier. There are a couple local TV channels that you would never look at because they're not in HD. channels.
That's a fair point.
In Cox Cable Local, it's channel 93 and 94.
I'm sorry. I meant to bring this up, and I forgot it. I
know where you're going. Uh-huh. We can go there, too, but I was going to tell you. They have one is called, it's a network called Buzzer, and it's all old game shows. And I'm talking old, like the beginning of television, old game shows, where it's the old What's My Line, and I almost said To Catch a Predator, not the same.
Different.
But it's so interesting to watch the shows and see everybody just smoking like a house of fire on set, and just to see all of these actors and actresses who are on the celebrity panel trying to guess who people are. It is fantastic to flashback and see them as they were in their late teens, early 20s on these panels. It's like I saw Tom Poston the other night, which I had no idea that Tom would have been on a game show in the early 50s. But fantastic. Tom Poston, who used to be married to Dixie Carter. But anyway.
Not really married to Dixie Carter. Tom Poston was just on all those Newhart shows. Dixie Carter was married to Hal Holbrook.
I'm sorry, wrong person. He was married to
Suzanne Plachette, I think.
Yes, Suzanne Plachette. That's who he was married to. My bad. But anyway, it's just very interesting.
I like that we're both on Newhart co-hosts.
Right, Newhart
500.
Jeb. But the channel's like I have been laughing because I've watched old episodes of Columbo because of the cars and all of the old sets. It's just so funny to see how stuff used to be put together. But the game shows are really, really fun to catch. And what you were probably going to get ready to say is they're broadcasting this month all of the original episodes of the Judy Garland show on Get TV, which I have my DVR set and it's recording every night. It's doing it locally, and I don't know if that's a network.
Out if I can stream any of that.
If it's a network that's nationwide or not. But they're showing all of the, and I'm assuming in sequence. I don't know. I would think they would.
I would think they would too. They're filmed. All of them, they were filmed and shown originally out of sequence due to some tweaking. So whether they'll go with the broadcast schedule
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And for those who want to find I put the link on my Facebook page because I can't link it to here because of the way the YouTube app works to the Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I can do that.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, that was all it. So,
Judy Garland. So good, the Judy Garland show. And just watch a woman that everyone accused of being drunk and out of her element. She went up against Ponderosa or Bonanza, whatever that show was called.
Yeah.
Was it called Bonanza? What was it called? Ponderosa?
I don't know.
They lived on the Ponderosa with Michael Landon. It was Bonanza. On against that show, and they just had phenomenal ratings for today, bad ratings for then. But if you watch her do amazing, amazing, amazing performances on there, great guests.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward. I'm having it record them and I'll watch them as I can. Not HD, but who gives a shit? It's very cool. And you get to see them all in their entirety. The other thing that the old game shows are doing, the old game shows, they're showing the commercials as well. So you get to see
commercials were part of the broadcast at that time.
Right,
in,
right.
In television, they weren't a separate thing. They were the responsibility of the show and the network.
Right.
Because those sponsorships were direct. Like, those cigarette companies were directly sponsoring the Judy Garland show.
And
that's where that money came from.
And in the game shows, you would just pan right to a different part of the soundstage.
In some of them.
And you didn't go to something that was pre-recorded and broadcast from someone else. The commercials were performed right over here.
This is what I've learned from watching Mad Men, incidentally.
And I Love Lucy would clue you in on that, too.
It was very cool. It's very cool to see it, though. I enjoy it.
And now Amina says, imagine how different the world would be if Judy Garland was cast as Scarlett O'Hara. Just slightly too young. I know she was on the list, but she did not have the star power at the time. Just from someone who knows the 1939, it's my favorite year for movies, as is most people.
Well, and I don't think she would have been able to pull off like that scorn, that Scarlett O'Hara. Like,
no, she was a little young, and Betty Davis was campaigning the hardest for that. Betty Davis and a couple others. She was a little too young for that role because she was a little too old for The Wizard of Oz. And they're the same year, in case you don't know, Amina. Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz were filmed at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. So, it's an amazing year for movies. But if you watch it, she's a little too young to be that.
And even as Scarlett is written in the book, like there's no way, like just Judy as she was at the time of Wizard of Oz, and she didn't ever pull it off.
Yeah, because she was the older sister to start with, so she actually
Gone with the Wind would have.
And everyone said, at the time, everyone said, better a foreigner than a Yankee playing Scarlett. Like, they were, people were happier that they went to England to find their Scarlett O'Hara than they would have been had it been a Yankee doing a Southern accent.
That's
they were
funny.
Very, everyone was opposed to who, like, who would they wanted either a true Southerner or just go completely off the fucking maps.
No.
You're in my alley now, Amina.
Gotcha.
I know me, my 1939 theater, films.
With that said, let's go into we'd like to call our final segment, you call the release.
The end of the hostage situation. Thoughtful,
where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Hello.
Hi. So... I was trying to finish chewing.
Dusty mouth.
So now that, like, gay marriage is pretty much settled in the books, what's the new impossible dream? Like, what's our new like cause? What are we fighting for? What do we want our candidates to be saying?
As far as gay community, or as far
no, just as humans. Like, what are
just
we?
Just like me personally.
Because I think we got trapped in the gay marriage fight. Against their will, because they kept putting it on the ballot when we were like, wait, no, what? Okay, well, I guess we're going to fight for that.
Well, we have to fight for it. Like, yeah, not,
all right, you brought it up.
Now they don't want to give it to us, now we have to fight for it, right.
So, what?
I don't know, are you looking for just, like, social change? Or
no,
you
what's, but what's your issue? Like, what are you looking for?
My issue? Guns.
Okay, so, because, now, at the beginning, at the very, very
That's
beginning
okay.
Of the show,
we can't do it every week.
Mama Di was talking about that she thought the gun argument was kind of antiquated or outdated based on how people buy guns now, which is over the internet, because, well, I'm reading IMDb and Entertainment Weekly online, everyone else is buying guns where I work.
Right.
So I'm like, I guess you can buy them online.
Yeah, you can buy them online, you can buy them on Craigslist, you can meet a guy in a dark alley, like, all of it legal.
Yeah.
Legal.
You can meet a guy in a dark alley for other things as well, just to be clear. We don't want to pigeonhole anybody into buying guns.
Yeah,
tap your foot. Sure.
I can go to certain parks, like, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Lady
boy.
But no, and there's so many articles, there's so many facts, there's so many memes, there's so many things out there, like, it's harder to buy a car. It's harder to sell a car. It's harder to own and operate a car than it is a gun and 4,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
Like, I don't remember what I was listening to sometime recently. It must have been talk radio of some kind. But, yeah, somebody who ended up killing a whole bunch of people, like, went across state lines to somewhere where they had, like, looser gun laws, bought 4,000 rounds of ammunition. Nobody said, hey,
Really? Come on,
like,
guy.
How many deer are you going to kill?
What do you need 4,000 rounds for? They're just like, eh, whatever, buy in bulk. I mean, it's cheaper.
That's the argument, because everyone says, oh, Illinois has such strict gun laws, yet there's so many shootings because all they do is drive across state lines.
It takes no time to get to Wisconsin from there.
Right.
Right.
And so that's the end of every argument, is like, then the gun laws have to be consistent with Illinois, or you can't go across state lines with your... You need to show a driver's license that says you live in that adjoining state that has lax laws. Yeah. You can't drive back with those. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm of the camp that it should not be easier to buy and sell guns than it is to buy and sell my car, birth control, cigarettes. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that it is harder to do all of these less dangerous things than it is to go buy a handgun that I could kill 40 people in a minute with.
There's a thing online now that they want elderly people drug tested for them to be eligible for Medicaid. All right, let's drug test everybody to make you eligible for Congress. Let's just start there. You can't run for an election without a drug test. Let's say every 6 months or every time before a vote. The day before a vote, you can't vote on a bill without peeing in a cup. That's fun.
That's smart.
If you're gonna keep
saying this drug testing shit, then you have to be drug tested before every single vote in your state legislation. No. Anywhere
and your
you
staff,
go.
And all your coked out staffers.
Everybody's going to pee in a cup, and we're just going to test urine and just fire everybody. And watch them go down. It's like the Florida thing when they were going to like shame the women, mm-hmm. that the women had to put all their sexual partners up on a billboard
yep.
before they could give a baby up for adoption.
Well, that's that
It's the
squelched.
Anti-abortion stance. It right. really is the pro-life stance mm-hmm. to have this person put the baby up for adoption. But in Florida, under Jeb, they were so fucked up that Jeb was all for that until the legislators were like, our name's going to be on that billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're
potential fathers.
We want her to give that baby up for adoption. Right. Like, we need that baby out of the story, and it's better that she goes the adoption route. Like we're supposed right. to be for this, and that's why I hate Florida. In case you're ever wondering, it was that thing, and that's all Jeb. Not only did he get involved in Terri Schiavo mm-hmm. and make like a mockery of any kind of like self determination or whatever that phrase is that conservatives always use, but he did that, and that's the whole thing with all of these topics. Like,
oh.
It should be... I didn't even know what I'm so mad I can't even think, but...
Well, I mean, equality is an issue.
Right. But you went with guns.
Yeah, I went with guns.
If we're going to do that, I would say we've got to figure out a little bit more, and I think we're getting there because I see so many different things popping up, but it seems like the energy thing with regards to being energy independent and being able to...
We are actually
we're getting
energy
there.
Independent. We actually, if you look at current statistics because of what's happened in the last 8 years that's been kind of ignored, we are 95% off the tit. Like, we don't import much oil anymore.
Right, but thanks I mean, to North but I'm being more to the energy, meaning like the solars and the not have to go to the gas station.
Oh, you mean like get out of the fossil fuels.
We know the technology's there now. Let's everybody quit yeah. fighting and lobbying in all the Congress about all
as far as Iran being able to like hold us hostage or the oil producing countries.
Yeah, they can't.
That's
anymore.
Why all of, and if you've noticed of the last 8 years, why all these things don't affect us anymore. Like, why do we don't invade everybody? Because we're not dependent on their oil. That's why it's now France's problem and England's problem. And that's why everyone keeps saying, like, those of you right there, because they're on the tit, we're not anymore. And we haven't
well,
been.
Right there.
But we haven't been because the drill baby drill, even though we were all against it in 08, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who was president. It's kind of like the gun laws. Everybody was like, if you know, Obama's going to take your guns away. He's done nothing to stop it. The gun lobby's gotten stronger. There's yeah. more guns. Under Obama, there's more guns than there were under Bush. It hasn't stopped. But the little fact that gets lost is that we're not dependent on foreign countries for oil anymore. Like, even we were Argentina with Valenzuela.
Oh, yeah,
Valenzuela,
we didn't think about that.
Vicente Fox had yeah. little power over us, but then we drilled somewhere else. We're not oil dependent.
Don't need it. But I'm with Clayton. It's
but I'm with you on. But the other argument of like getting on the solar, getting on the reusable,
right.
renewable.
I mean, we
fuels.
Live in the Valley of the Sun. How are we not at the forefront of that? Like Phoenix could.
How
be...
is Germany 100 miles ahead of us?
Yeah,
we're not even in the same
well,
race.
Can
with
we
Germany.
Trust their technology though?
Well, if the Jews had just had more guns.
Al, what would you say
right.
would be...
So,
would
I mean, and everyone... Yes, we're all agreeing to the same thing. Like, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying that we can avoid Middle East wars right now because we're not doing it. But the renewables, the fact that Germany... And they all say that, well, Germany has better weather than us. Germany has the same weather as, like, any shit state in the East in the winter. Like, they don't, they're not known for their sunshine and warmth.
Mm-mm.
Right.
They'd have tourists. But
well, those great furry hats.
Because Germany's approximately the same latitude as the Northeast, right?
Yeah, basically.
Oh. So they're going to have the same weather.
Same weather. So it's just funny that, like, California, there should be an upside to this no rain thing. They should be producing the shit out of solar energy.
So should we.
I'm curious.
And if you think about it, like Niagara Falls was the source of 2/3 of the Northeast's power for many mm-hmm. years, but then nuclear came in and took it away so that, like, hydropower, which was the cleanest, not for the people in Niagara Falls because they polluted everything to do it, but hydropower was the source of electricity. Like, that's how the Northeast got electricity
right.
yeah. for many years.
Right out of Niagara Falls. I watched the documentaries.
Yeah.
Let's ask this. Hang on a second. What is the current weather in Frankfurt, Germany? Let's see what happens here.
Oh, let's see what Siri says.
Here's the current weather for Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, 37 degrees there. It is chilly in Frankfurt.
Fahrenheit.
I'm assuming it's going to give me Fahrenheit because it's, 37, mostly cloudy in Frankfurt. So it is the...
And then we get from the people in the chat room, thank you, Aaron and Ant and Amina and Harrison and Jenny, that it's similar to Washington State.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not good weather if you've been there.
Which is, again...
Beautiful.
It's, again, on that same
probably
latitude.
Fewer Starbucks.
Look at you with your green screen map. So, I mean...
We're getting close.
But it really is amazing when you realize the choices we've been able to make, like, geopolitically, because we're not on the tip.
Yeah.
We're still... I mean, we're... Volkswagen set us back a couple days, but we'll fix that. Well, but because...
And again, Germans.
And everyone... And we say it all the... Well, we say it all the time. Everyone says it all the time. That as California passes a regulation, Bill Maher mostly says it, the rest of the country eventually just has to fall in line because they're so populous. So when California passes stricter emissions laws, it kind of goes nationwide when they pass. So as they get on board with something, and now that they're in crisis, California is like the fifth largest economy in the world.
Well, if you'll remember,
sixth largest, I think it's like the fifth or sixth largest economy. Like they're... Just that one state's economy is bigger than almost every nation in the world.
The funny thing is, if you watch old game shows, I would bring it back to your California point. If you watch old game shows from the 70s and early 80s, all cars that were on the game shows were with California emissions. Now they don't say that anymore because every fucking buddy's got those emissions.
Right, and that's in the emissions. It's funny. All of that comes from California.
Because there used to be a difference in cars.
Yeah, they're still kind of the strictest as far as emissions and stuff go. My dad's got a trucking company, so he's constantly bitching because he's based out of California. It's like, we could save so much money if we were in Montana.
If we could just pollute.
Right. Seriously. No, that's a thing.
If we were just allowed to burn whatever shit we want to. So mine would be what I think we lost track of with the marriage thing is, like, equality, like, for jobs, living. Like, you can't get kicked out of your home. You can't get fired from your job. Equal pay. Like, that kind of equality, where, like, let's start at the basic level of how we all live and work. Like, let's have somebody just say, no more kicking people out. But you can't have that. I mean, the Republicans aren't going to do it. Ben Carson says that a Muslim can't be president. Like, you put a limit on something
right
away and
so,
denied
someone.
So, yeah,
we got marriage, but we totally forgot about the thing that we need to go along with that.
We forgot about housing.
Which is non-discrimination.
Adoption.
Non-discrimination.
Right. Yeah.
Adoption. That was a big topic at the dinner that I was... At on Saturday, there was a huge topic,
and the foster families, the fact that they kept gays out of the foster families especially if you watched last week's very special SVU with Whoopi Goldberg,
I did not,
which was very good about the burden that's being placed on social services to intervene with children in crisis. That's where you need these foster families, and you have these states, these red states that have these kids in crisis that have the most children living in poverty. That are trying to deny people that want to be foster parents. Vet them, sure. But if someone's willing to take in a child while their family gets their shit together, and then in the foster care system, you give them back. You're fostering them until their family heals.
Right. A lot of times, yeah.
And in these systems where you're doing it, like, just get this fucking shit ready. And the environment, to me, is just, regardless of what you believe in, you want to live somewhere clean.
Like, right. Clean
like
up your
you
own
want
backyard.
To be like you want to one day our grandchildren or our children's grandchildren, someone's going to swim in that Chesapeake Bay.
That, I was
not
going to
be
that,
me. I'm not putting
Baltimore
a toe in that
trash
shit.
Trolley. That's some pretty.
That's, I mean, that's
shit.
Amazing stuff, and that's easy stuff with the solar power, and it rumors its way back to the charger system. Like that's just amazing, easy shit. Mm-hmm. Like do something simple, fix something locally. Oh, poverty-based violence. Oh, Amina, we'll get to that. That's don't even get me started. Speaking of equality, check out what Nepal did in its new constitution. I'm intrigued.
We'll look that up as we move
we'll
on.
Vary
it, and thank you. Oh, my God. And there's Joe D, who is probably the biggest advocate for electric anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
LED lighting. In fact, he has a new... I don't recall if he's giving up for his own... Is it a podcast he's doing or it's a blog? I forget which one, but he's doing an LED lighting online thing. I honestly don't recall. I've seen his posts about it, but I don't recall if it's a blog or a podcast. I've forgotten.
But thank you. I mean, everybody's input. It just makes it so much more interesting when there's more than what we have fact checkers coming literally from around the globe.
All over the place. Oh, my heavens. I feel like we had a good, solid show, but
we were a little
even keel tonight, I felt.
My wake and bakes are not my best performances. I always have to say that.
Well, it's okay. I will forgive you. You're part of the family anyway.
And now we have to go right back to bed because we have to be up early.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I have to do. I have an installation.
Oh, Harrison, I'll see you this weekend.
Oh, my God. Hey. Al's going out of town. Yay. I'm kidding. All right, boys
and
girls.
We have to read. Wait.
What?
Nepal added LGBT protections to its constitution.
Well, thank you, Nepal.
Very good,
great
Nepal.
Sound, Don. Well, thank you. My cow is lovely.
Boys
my
and
pig.
Girls, you've done it again. You've wasted 3 hours. We thank you for doing so. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this endearing parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.